call the meeting to order. Do you need to take a breath so you can lead us in the pledge to allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If you wouldn't mind, Clerk Perry, doing a roll call?
Yes. Chair Petit.
Here.
Deputy Chair Fabiano said he could not make it. Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Erner.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Awesome. Thank you. So I will look for a motion for the approval of the August 7th, 2023 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Thank you. I'll second
that.
Any discussion? Yes. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Under Motion 1, it says the motion was made by Legislator Fabiano, who was not present. I would ask that Clerk Tierney check who made that motion.
Thank you.
Will do.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So we can approve the minutes as amended then?
Okay. Yes. What are we amending it to,
That's
though?
That's good.
I would have to go back in my notes and check.
Was it a motion on the resolution or the
minutes? It was the minutes, so it must have been.
I made the motion.
You made the second.
I made
so
the second.
It must have been Legislator Litz.
I probably made it.
Okay. I move that we approve the minutes as amended.
As amended. Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor on the minutes as amended?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Next, we have a representative here from RCAL regarding ADA-compliant transportation and accessibility. We can give you 3 to 5 minutes.
I will be brief.
Thank you. All right. Please state your name for the record.
I am Keith Gerge. I am the Systems Advocate at RCAL, the Resource Center for Accessible Living. I'm here today to speak about accessible transportation. I wrote a letter in coordination with our CEO, Anthony Mignon, in support of expanding transportation hours to sessions of the legislature and during county business hours. We believe everyone should have access to the democratic process, and in particular myself, I know it's a little unconventional to be speaking during a committee meeting, but I'm unable to make it to legislative session, which I plan to testify, but I'd like to be in person, so I'm here today speaking at the committee meeting, and I appreciate your indulgence. Just a little bit about myself briefly. I did use paratransit to get to Ulster County Community College and City New Paltz. I haven't always been in a wheelchair. I had a spinal cord injury after high school in 2009. And if I take my RCAL hat off for a second, I am also in the running for county legislature, and the access to transportation is a concern of mine. So I think it's an issue, and I understand the workforce shortage issue across the board. I'm here today with my father, as there is not a PCA available during the week. So I think it's a big issue, but I urge you to think about how rather than if it's possible, whether it's maybe hiring more drivers, and I know that's an issue, raising pay. Can we raise pay across the board for every county employee that we're short for? It seems difficult. And I do understand there is an attempt to consolidate some of the transportation resolutions into a larger level of service resolution, which I think may be an avenue towards a possible resolution. What else? I think that's it. I just am glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, thank you very much. I support your being able to come to county meetings and others being able to come to county meetings. The question for me is whether or not setting a policy with that agenda before we've worked out a mechanism to reach it is the way to go. I mean, it can be helpful to have the aspiration, but since I estimate and could be informed if I'm wrong, that there would be a small number of people who would use the service, it seems to me that it may be better to look to paratransit or some other system than necessarily just trying to build it into the UCAT system. So I wonder if you would be open to brainstorming and, you know, looking at what we estimate the need to be, whether we can for some time fill that with things like the broadcasting of the meetings and the ability to call in, whether that is a sufficient provision of access overall, or if it's not sufficient overall, could it continue to suffice for a while and let us craft a good solution? Because I, as much as I want to get people here, I don't like the idea of sending empty buses to the end of my district, 23-25 miles down the road, if nobody's there getting on it. So that would be my hope for the committee, and with people that know what the constraints are in terms of the other options, which it sounds to me like you have tried or used in the past but aren't doing it for you now, if that's
sure,
fair.
Sure. Yeah,
paratransit, I haven't been able to schedule for legislative session because of the late hour that it will end. I believe they stop at some point. But yes, I think we should know what the need is and who would be utilizing it. I'm a little aware. I'm also open to hybrid everything. I think it opens access to meetings for many people who can't even get out of bed. But for those who would like to be in person, I think that's optimal. But for sure, virtual is helpful. I feel it's a little bit separate but equal type of thing. If it was to be made permanent, but I see your point, definitely.
Just to thank you for that, and I would say that I agree with you that the remote access should be something we maintain because it does serve people who can't use some kind of transportation. But so we should have a both-and solution here, not an either-or. And I take your point that it's not the same as being here in person. It's nice to have you here today, for example.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Gergy, for coming and speaking to us and your letter of support for legislation, including that which I've put forth. I had brought another proposal to this body about moving sessions of the legislature around. It was defeated in a committee. Would that help with access for communities that you're talking about here if we had approved that?
It is hard to speak for everyone, but if it was closer to home, I know the town of Ulster meeting place is only 5 minutes away from home, but I'm lucky enough to have my own vehicle, and when my parents are available or a friend to drive me, so I'm in a privileged situation, but I'm sure it would help others. It's hard to speak for them, but yeah, in those areas when the meetings are moved around, yeah.
Another question? Thank you. I share Legislator Nolan's concern about having empty buses, but we also have empty vehicles running around. If you think about it, most people who drive a car commute by themselves with three or more seats empty in the vehicle. Do you have any thoughts as to what the burden should be on current personal vehicle owners in terms of helping their neighbors get around, or those who really drive the most cutting back on that?
It's hard to say. I think in the beginning, when you institute a policy of expanding transportation, it's also a matter of public information that these routes, new routes, are available. And when that happens, you will probably get an increase over time. So hopefully those buses won't be empty for long. Possibly in the beginning, it's very possible, but public information, and I think people would be happy to join others in a single vehicle rather than drive their own. And I think it meets the goals of the executive, I believe, to reduce emissions. So that's another kind of thought in my brain. So more public transportation, less individual vehicles everywhere.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank
we
you.
Hope that you make it to some of our other sessions and committee meetings. We'd like to move to the space study update. Director Masterson?
Rob has been point from the beginning of the project,
okay.
So I'm going to ask Rob to...
So point at Rob.
Sure, so thank you. Just want to pass out a few, examples.
Thank you.
For the members here. This is three different documents. Three different documents from the overall report. So the very first document is a survey the different departments submitted. They asked a few questions, a number of questions actually about their operations. And then from that, the study took place. So then you'll see a section one, which is a building condition assessment. And that's of each building individually. You know, they look at the HVAC unit, the roof, the condition of different systems. And then section two is a the actual space assessment that they used to when they went through and they based it up the survey results from the department. With that survey, they had interviews, face-to-face interviews, and a walkthrough of each department. So I'm showing you that just so you see the context of the overall project. There are other sections that are not here that I have not seen yet. So there's a section three that's coming that will be most useful for DPW, capital projects, and other suggested maintenance tasks that they're going to recommend for all of our buildings. And then section four, another section for real estate, the real estate services function.
So it goes beyond a space study. It also goes into maintenance and building.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's from our own, selfish perspective. That's what we're most concerned with, in capital projects, maintenance items. And then it also covers many other issues that you folks are involved in. And
so
then
you have about 20 buildings on here.
Yeah.
That's how many departments are there? So you're talking like this building.
20.
Yeah.
Probably more than 20. More than 20.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because I was looking at the buildings, and like there's only 20 buildings.
Well, you take this building for example, right?
Yeah.
There's multiple departments that are within this building. Business Resource Center, multiple departments that are in that one building. So those sections are 95% done for all of the departments, all of the buildings. Basically, in summary, I guess, Bergman will have all of the documentation to us by October 9th, so we can then share them, hopefully, at the next committee meeting, followed up by, I asked them to, obviously, make an in-person presentation after the following week. You know, you folks can review it, the documents, make notes, ask questions, but I will say that when, a number of years ago, the space issue has always been an issue. In fact, there was a standing committee called the Space Committee that looked at these exact issues. So it's not a new issue, but it's our way of looking at this issue, really, in a more proactive way instead of reacting all the time, especially to maintenance issues.
Yeah.
It's a way of looking at it proactively instead of reactively. And that's only that one or two sections, of this overall report. I don't know if you have any questions.
Well, you were confident back in June or July that it would be ready for August.
Yeah.
Are we?
So there were.
I can do a couple more weeks, but I'm concerned about giving them much more time because the contract was written over a year ago.
Understood. One of the big problems is that they were bought out by a larger company, so we had to do the amendment process. We're actually still doing an amendment to recognize the new owner of the company. So But yes, I'm 100%.
Okay.
99%. Sure.
Legislator Nolan and then Legislator Erner, did you have a question? Okay. Legislator Nolan?
Yes, yeah, through the chair. The administrative shuffle at this firm is an explanation, but I'm just wondering, as we're, you know, drafting paperwork that could just shift, you know, from one company to another, is there any provision, or should we be trying to obtain some reduction in price for the delay? This is a delay not of our making. If there were, you know, it just seems to me that the delay is costing us, and why are we paying for that when we are not the cause of this delay? If we've expanded the scope of work or something like that and needed to have given them more time and didn't, then, you know, that makes sense to me, and that could, you know, come back to us and explain that, but that's not what I'm hearing. And so I just think that when these things happen, it may have benefits to one or the other of those companies that we should not be subsidizing.
Thank you. Very well said.
I'd like to see that be part of that the discussion. However, I would not like to have a discussion about price delay the project further. So I don't know if I can have both those goals at the same time.
I know. And there is a performance requirement. There's a clause in our contract.
There usually is. Yeah.
Legislator Litz.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to assume, I mean, that this takes place all the time where consultants are absorbed into other companies. And I would find it highly irregular that they would stop work on a project.
Yeah.
That would just continue. And I think the, quote, delay, is probably unrelated to the fact that they're being bought out by another company. But contractually, that has to take place because Berman will no longer exist, and that's who our contract is with. So legally, they have to draw new contracts because of the purchase of Berman. But I don't think the delay has anything to do with the fact that they're being bought out. I think it has more to do with Bergman wasn't on track to begin with.
And those are really good points. I mean, if there's further delays in, or if we have to approve an amendment to this contract, are we then looking at October or November?
Well, I can
because
say
they're not going to give us.
You won't have to approve an amendment because there won't be any increase in cost.
Okay.
That's the only way you would have to improve anything.
All right.
You won't have to approve like a time extension. Does that make sense?
And if they want more money, we can just go back on their performance
right.
in general.
There's no way they're
you owe
money.
Us for the delays, okay. Yeah. Okay. Were there any other questions? But next month.
Next month is October.
Yeah.
Would you like a presentation?
We would love a presentation,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm thinking at the next committee meeting, or between now and then?
Be committee meeting or not committee
meeting? Either you think it should be a committee meeting separate. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's look at something separate. I mean, this will be helpful with our budget, too, which we are going to be really looking at in November to see, you know, what their proposals are and if there's any leases that we may be able to opt out of because there is space or buildings to be sold.
Yeah, and we've been putting decisions off with regards to renting, leasing, buying, waiting for the study, because to do that prematurely, I mean, why have the study if you're going to do that? I mean, the proper way to do it is you get the study, you look at the resources, you look what can be done within the confines of what we already have, and then move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and WSP by then?
Colliers.
Or Colliers, okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thanks. So I would like to take liberties with our agenda since we have some department heads. We have several department heads here. I've moved around, if that is okay with our committee. So I'd like to put the two ARPA together, which are number one and number three. And we'll start out with that discussion. Then we can move into planning, Dennis, so you're not here for two.
I've got a couple of them, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I am looking for a motion to discuss resolution number 337, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the city of Kingston, where the county is a subrecipient of the city's ARPA funds for Elizabeth Manor. Motion to discuss.
I believe that was postponed till next month.
That's right, it was.
In health.
No, 337 was not in health.
No.
Was
in ways and means?
I thought it got held up somewhere. Was that 339?
That was the one that went to the floor and was sent
was
back
postponed.
To both this committee and Ways and Means. But it was postponed in Ways and Means till their next meeting.
Okay.
Oh, because we haven't discussed it.
Okay.
That's
so.
I'll move
that
it.
Information.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we move it for discussion, an open discussion, or would you like me to withdraw that and...
I think it was postponed for 1 month period.
Okay. All right. So that's probably what we should do as well until we get more information.
We can't postpone it until we move it. We could take no action.
Okay. Gotcha.
Without
okay. All
moving
right.
That's why I was trying to move it.
I have a second from Legislator Erner.
Yeah, if we were going to block this, I would move that we also block the resolutions that are pondering altering this project, which are 468 and 469. Talk about that all together. Are they still on our agenda?
Those are on forthcoming. Legislators that have brought those resolutions forward, I don't think they're ready to start moving forward with them.
Okay. Yeah, that one was postponed as well.
I see 468 is postponed. How about 469?
That was defeated.
That was defeated.
Right, we defeated
and
that.
That was to sell it, and I wouldn't block... buying it and selling it in the same block.
Yeah.
So maybe we can just take them one at a time.
Okay. I will not make that motion.
But we do
but
have
were you seconding the motion to...
Block 337?
No, just let's do 337. They're both ARPA, but they're two different projects.
So we have a motion to for discussion on 337, which was made by Legislator Nolan. And I have a second. Okay, Legislator, there we go. So given that we have information that it was postponed in Ways and Means until next month,
I'll make a motion to postpone.
Postpone, okay. Now,
I'll second that.
All right.
I'd like to talk about that postponement.
Yeah, I just had a thought on that, too. If it doesn't pass our committee, will Ways and Means not be comfortable?
I think the postponement goes beyond Ways and Means.
Okay.
I mean,
I
didn't call the vote yet.
So, discussion?
Yes.
So, if we are going to do something with this building other than what we have contemplated doing, then we could have this resolution in effect with the city of Kingston. But it won't be actionable. I think you can make arguments for either going ahead with the city of Kingston so that it helps them if they have paperwork they need to be submitting in case we do go forward with this. But if this is postponed a month in Ways and Means, then you know we get another chance to do that next month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's support for going ahead and passing this out of committee. If there is, then I would do that. I like having paperwork on these complicated projects in place that then if we're moving forward, it's we're not held up by that paperwork. And that there have been a lot of talk in a lot of committees about delays on these big projects, and that getting the paperwork in place is one of the sources of those delays. So I have made the motion to postpone based on the assumption that that's what the committee is going to be most comfortable with. If that's not the case, I'll withdraw that motion.
Legislator Erner.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with Legislator Nolan. I would like to approve this right now and let Ways and Means discuss if this is something that they think is a wise use of funds.
But having it in place so that it can be authorized, I think, is the right move for us to make right now, and I would not favor postponing.
Yeah, I mean, there is an RFP that is out, and if the RFP comes back, the monies could be potentially still taken from the city of Kingston and used for Elizabeth Manor. There's also another project in the city of Kingston, at the old Chiz. So I'm sure they'd be more than happy to divert it there. I don't know if I'm quite ready until I know what the status is and if we're moving forward with a vendor to kind of take that building over. So I guess I would also like to divert to Nathan then to see if you've heard anything back from the federal government since we did purchase this property with ARPA funding. I guess we'll pull you into this conversation.
No problem. I have had discussions further internally about this, but there has not been clear. I know there's been, we are waiting on some more information. I would say on the resolution, if I may, that there is a new legislative cycle beginning, and I think an additional period of time before this resolution goes forward could be, whether it's, there's no action or however the committee decides, but I don't know that this resolution, a decision is needed on this resolution for this month.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to postpone. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Any abstentions? Okay. So I am going to take the next ARPA resolution out of order, and that is resolution number 473, approving the changes of a subordination mortgage to a restricted covenant, Silver Garden Senior Housing Development. Motion for discussion. Thank you. Second. Legislator Erner. If you wouldn't mind explaining.
Certainly. So this has gone through previous approval. This is the best way to say it. This is on the Silver Gardens ARPA funding for $600,000. This was funded for $600,000. The contract draft was approved. So a lot is in place here. And this, along with the funding resolution, there was also what I believe is something new, but I think a reasonable thing to do, which is there was attached to the funding resolution, which was approved, a draft recapture document. Was attached to the schedule to the resolution, was approved. It was a 30-year recapture. It, in that resolution, there wasn't a mechanism for draft changes through legislative counsel or the county attorney. A full year or more has passed since those, and the reason for that time period is RUPCO and the partnership had to get their 9% funding from HCR. Happily, that did happen, and the funding is in place, and they're getting ready for closing. We've had communications, I've definitely had communications with the county attorney as well as RUPCO's attorney, and there have been changes to the recapture agreement, and we are bringing that back now to the legislature to ensure, number one, this resolution puts in place, if there are further amendments, it would be subject to the county attorney and legislative council's approval, so we have a little bit more flexibility. But it also puts in place what's more of a final agreement with changes for the legislature's review.
And this is a good policy considering we have the housing affordable funding now and other mechanisms where the county is providing funds for housing, that this should be a standard. You know, that's so there's no, like, we're taking county money and flipping it and reselling. I mean, RUPCO's been doing it for years. With all of the funds that they provide new home buyers, I believe it's Dennis, I'm looking at you, 7 to 10 years. They lien the properties. Yeah. That's a good policy. Legislator Litt.
So what we have before us has been reviewed, vetted, and approved by council.
I have gone through it with the county attorney, yes. Not with the clerk, not with the attorney for the legislature.
But he's okay and he signed off on it. Because I'm not in the habit of approving resolutions that have not been vetted and approved by council.
I sent this to contract management. I met with the county attorney. We reviewed it, and then in submitting the resolution, I simultaneously submitted the revised recapture agreement to contract management. So we'll go through the county attorney process.
Basic structures approved.
So, excuse me?
I think basic structures approved. It doesn't get
okay.
To you.
I mean, I want to make sure it's approved by council before we vote on it. That's all. Because we've had too many cases in the past where we vote on it, and then next month we've got to make amendments to it because council changed something, and that's not the right way to do business. We should never have to go backwards all the time to rectify things because they weren't reviewed when they were supposed to be.
If I may. So this was an amendment in the funding approval. It was an amendment to that resolution where this was put in at the legislature's direction. So I think this is actually a step forward where the draft recapture was approved with the funding resolution, and I think the legislature was looking to do something, given that this is a low-income housing tax credit project and is a large project with other funding sources, I think they wanted to ensure that county ARPA dollars were recaptured for 30 years. Mm-hmm. It was done during the committee process and didn't have a chance to really go through the standard county attorney process.
Okay.
And so we're actually bringing it back in a way because this resolution will now allow for changes subject to legislative counsel or county attorney.
I understand all of that.
Okay.
And it's all being done by the legislature. But I want to make sure that legal counsel agrees with what the legislature is doing, which is why I want their review and approval prior to voting on a resolution to make this law.
So it's gone through council, but it hasn't gone through contractual. Is that standard for all of our contracts?
That's not what I heard. I heard it's basically the legislature is trying to rectify something that we didn't do because it was a draft in our resolution a year ago. And now we're putting a recapture clause in because we didn't do it then. And it's a legislative effort to do this. But it wouldn't be the first time the legislature has done something. And then a month or two or 3 months later, council says, well, you know, that really doesn't work like that. Let's make an amendment. Let's do another resolution to fix what we should have fixed when we put the resolution out first. Which is why I'm insisting on all our resolutions that they be reviewed and signed off, quote, signed off, by our county council before we vote on them. I mean, we shouldn't have to keep going back to retract and do things that should have been done right the first time.
Legislator Nolan?
I think there's a point there. There's some judgment about what goes to the county attorney that I think can come into play because everything going to the county attorney bogs up the system. So I feel comfortable going ahead and taking action on this, putting it in place from this committee, moving it out of committee. Let the county council know that there's been this request that this be reviewed, and if they don't get it reviewed before we pass it, then it's on them. But we saw a deficiency. We want to fix it. It looked good to me, and I'm prepared to take action and move it forward and let somebody else slam the brakes on it before or even amend it afterwards. I mean, if we don't get it right, we can fix it later. but this is another very big, complicated project, and having paperwork in place that's lined up from our end helps this project, which is going to serve homelessness in this county, move forward. So I'd like to go ahead and call the issue, unless there's further discussion.
I'm a little more comfortable because our attorney has looked at it, as long as it does get through contractual. And this is actually, I mean, the money initially was provided so that the applicant could go out and get more funding for the project. And this is cleaning up the final document, whether it be payment. I think I'm agreeing with you. I think we should move it forward. I'd certainly like to see more housing built, and I can't see where there'd be any more amendments to it. I mean,
well, one other statement I would make and try to bring everybody together is, it didn't necessarily get the sign off before we passed the first resolution. This is better, so let's get the better one in place to have the attorney look at it, if that's a way of looking at it. And I do think there's some time between now and session that the county attorney could review it and bring us, some other opinion if it's needed.
Any other discussion? If not, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, legislator List. Any abstentions? Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to move into planning. So the next will be resolution number 480, amending the 2023-2027 capital improvement program, establishing capital number 677 Golden Hill Transportation Improvements. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, very good. Director Doyle.
Hoping there's no questions.
Oh, okay. Any questions? And this is for, I do actually have a question, because it was $52,000. This is just for a study for the gate, the traffic light?
This is a design document, essentially, for both the gate and the signal on Golden Hill. The gate is at Glen Street to deal with some of the neighbors' complaints on Glen Street, and the signal is on the intersection of Route 32 and Golden Hill Drive. The number is above the legislative review for contracts. The reason the contracts aren't here is they're actually below the $50,000 amount, but it brings it above when we had contingency, and I wanted to make sure we had enough contingency if we had any issues with respect to the design work.
And so what is the anticipated complete cost if this is just for the engineering? Is that, because typically engineering is 10%,
I would suspect that the... I would expect that the gate cost is somewhere in the neighborhood of, and correct me, Brendan, if you think I'm out of whack, but I think somewhere between $10,000 to $15,000 for the gate after the design is completed. Maybe a little bit more from the electrical standpoint. And the signal costs have continued to go up. The last letting of a signal is in the $300,000 to $350,000 range.
I wonder why they're putting the stop sign.
Yes. So it used to be, they started at 150, then they went to 250, now they're at 350.
They're putting stop signs because it doesn't meet the warrants to put a traffic signal in. All of those go through a study.
Mm-hmm.
So it either gets one or the other or something else based on an engineering study.
Legislator Ernest.
But I had also heard about not just the expense of new signals, but the impossibility of obtaining parts for old signals, for example, many that were removed in the city of Kingston on the street where I live. But that price tag is certainly something that is something we need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
What's the usable life, if I make the usable life of a signal like that?
The gate lights are not that long, to be honest with you, because they're not that expensive. they're like $3,000 or $4,000. It's all the infrastructure in to get the gate there that's more expensive. The signal life, I would guess somewhere, the signals last quite a long time. The controllers, I think, are the ones that give you the most difficulty. This is a relatively simple signal in this instance.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. And we will move to Resolution 483, Department of Planning, approving the execution of a contract for $78,188 entered into by the county with Transpo Group USA, Inc.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Legislator.
With respect to your desire to get the departments organized, nonetheless, on the agenda and out of here is in as little time as they need to be here, I would respectfully move that we block this as well as 484, 526, and 534, 535, 536, 537, 538, and 426, 464, 427, 428, and 429 for the purpose of a unified discussion as they all pertain to the use of transportation, whether private or public, in our county right now.
I don't understand the block.
I don't either.
Because there are conflicting resolutions
different departments
in that block.
Well, is there a second on the motion? Okay, hearing none, it fails. Is there a second on the motion for discussion on 483 Transpo Group USA?
I'll second
it. Legislator Lynn. Any questions, comments? Yes, Legislator Lynn.
So we have Amanda fill us in as to what this is.
I can take it.
Yeah,
This is a contract with the Ulster County Transportation Council that is going to do work on something called a Human Services Coordinated Transportation Plan. It's required at the federal level to be updated every 5 years, so it's an update of the existing Human Services Transportation Coordination Plan, which is designed to figure out how we help those folks that are either aged or disabled.
Okay, so this is our larger paratransit. Okay.
Yeah.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So I support this, and the reason I wanted to discuss it together is that the results of this has been done before. This is done every 5 years. We're a little late this time, but this informs these policies that we're going to discuss later. It also informs what the executive branch is going to tell us about in one of the next couple resolutions. So I regret that I was not able to explain that in the making of my block, but mm-hmm. I would like to be able to discuss this as a unified understanding of what we are planning to do around all the different people's personal transportation need in Ulster County right now.
Okay, and I mean, I do understand that because these are separate departments. It would be more, we could discuss this as a committee when we block the other resolutions, which are combined into 464 and even with 426, and we could then bring that back into the discussion. Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I was going to suggest something similar. I think this we should consider this separately and pass it, and then if it makes sense to talk about some of the others together, that would make sense. But I think we need to do this. And there may be different lines of discussion on the other resolutions. So when things can go off in different directions, then I think it helps to look at them separately.
Thank you. Legislator Lutz?
The result of a study like this, and I believe the next resolution, 484, is what you utilize to formulate policies and laws like is being proposed for 426, 427, 464, 428, 429, which I believe is the cart, and this is the horse. I think we need to put the horse in front of the cart, because it doesn't do much good to have the cart without a horse. So I think we need to know the fruits of this study in order to further any discussion on 426, 464, 427, 428, or 429.
Yeah, whatever. Legislator Earn and then Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. So with respect to the last two comments, again, I was not intending to block this so that we would vote on it all at once. It was so that we could discuss it unified, and I would have been very happy to vote separately or in littler blocks on things that are in planning, things that are in UCAT, and so forth. With respect to carts and horses, the very study that we're contemplating doing the next periodic one of in this resolution has produced results which we have not implemented in the past, and my concern is that we will replicate that failure again with this. So that's the other reason that I wanted to discuss it together.
Legislator Nolan?
So this is a federal requirement. It's federal money. We should take it, and we should do the study, and we can discuss whatever we need to discuss, whether we have the general policy issues, and then come back to the resolutions. So I don't think we should get bogged down in this. I think that bringing forward any prior study that we feel like we're not implementing is certainly the role of this committee, and we should just put it on the agenda and bring forward and discuss and find out why it's not being done. But we shouldn't stop doing this one, because that would just put us further behind. In fact, we could even ask the department to roll into this study any observations about difficulties with implementing from prior reviews.
And I do agree. I mean, this is a study that has to be performed anyway. I do not agree that we should hold off and wait, because there's always a study going on. There's always a new report. There must be 10 of them. You know, it's either pedestrian or bicycle safety or, upgrades for accessibility. We've got two or three RFPs out now, so if we waited, we wouldn't ever pass a policy. But okay, so I will call a vote on 483. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Last one for planning we have is Resolution 484, approving the execution of a contract for $172,243.56 entered into with Four Square Integrated Transportation Planning. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litt. Any questions? And speaking of public outreach?
No, this is essentially a complete look at the existing transit system, public transit system. And it's corollary to the Human Services Transportation Coordinated Plan, which is a specialized transit system book. This will look at the entire public transit system, and we'll start looking at routing for that transit system and how, what technology that the system should use, the size of the system, where it should go, all of those things. This will be the fourth one I think we've done since 2003. And contrary to what's been said is that we have, through all of those studies, we have implemented changes to the transit system. Whether it be changes to where the routes go, whether it be how the routes are timed, or whether it be, in some instances, the case that we took over a complete transit system with respect to the city of Kingston. So there's been constant change within the transit system. These studies come along about once every 3 to 5 years.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Legislator Litt.
So Dennis, this study will look at levels of service?
Yes. And
it'll look at minimum frequencies to prevent gaps on routes. And it will look at transportation for all municipalities in census-designated places. and well, it'll look at express and local fixed routes for public transportation.
I would say yes to all of those, not maybe in the specifics that you've mentioned. What it will look at is the demographics of transit need without throughout the county, which may or may not correspond to census designated places. But they, the typical way that transit needs are assessed is doing a transit needs index, which depends upon poverty, car ownership, those types of things. And then you'll look at the, your existing routes and your existing seat capacity on those routes, the utilization of seats on those routes. We'll look at transit demand as it relates to employment centers. Those are the types of things that get done in a generalized look at how transit operates. And then from there it moves into, are there opportunities for something called microtransit in certain communities within the county, and how will that microtransit work? And then last but not least is what kinds of technology are needed in order to make microtransit effective and dispatch effective, et cetera.
Legislator Litz and then Legislator Nolan.
So what you're saying is this study by this consultant will look at all of those things and give us input and feedback for implementation in the future.
Yes.
To set new policies to, yeah.
Okay. I think that one of the keys is when you do these kind of work, you start to think about how you fund it. So then you start to think about the operating costs involved, how much money you have for transit, how much money essentially the county is willing to spend for transit, that is its own money. And so then you start to put limits on the services that you want to provide based on the amount of funding that's available. That's sort of looking at scenario planning, and that would be part of this as well.
Thank you.
Legislator Nolan.
So, very helpful, and I think that it can be helpful. I know the planning department puts on presentations at various places about some of these different studies and development of plans. So I'm not sure if I'm asking for one to be given especially for this committee, but maybe maybe we can address part of Legislator Erner's concerns about having the discussion of some of the later resolutions, maybe have the director of planning participate in those, and see how the activities of the planning department that are generating these this data and reports analysis can be used to form the kind of policies that will best serve us. So I guess I'm saying if we can maybe have discussion of resolutions that address policies about transportation, if we can link that to these kind of resolutions that are generating information about transportation, that does make sense. And so though I didn't support the blocking of those resolutions, I do support having the people who know the most about both of the, you know, that area being here for both of those discussions, I guess I'm saying. So, through the chair to the director of planning, please stick around.
I will.
If you can.
if I can, I think it's important to know that while you're always looking forward, you have a responsibility to the transit system as it exists today. And a lot of the resolutions that you're looking at and considering is essentially making sure that the transit system has the capital availability of the capital materials that it needs in order to continue to operate. I shouldn't say all of that money, but a substantial portion of that money comes through the Transportation Council in the form of federal dollars. And we continue to program federal dollars, and the Transportation Council continues to work with the transit agency to get a program of projects to make sure that the buses don't go past their useful life, to make sure that when we look at ridership, that the bus sizes that we're talking about are similar, to take a look at your garage needs and your other types of facilities needs. to take a look at your operating costs, all of those things, and how those are programmed. And that money actually goes on something called a transportation improvement program. So a lot of what you're looking at today is essentially programming of federal money that has been authorized through the Transportation Council, made available at the state level or at the county or at the federal level, authorized by the Transportation Council, and then utilized in a manner that's consistent with what, which is what's on the Transportation Council's Transportation Improvement Program. Think of that as the capital program for transit and a capital program for the facility needs, all your highway needs and transportation needs as it relates to the use of federal dollars. And I would urge, one is, we're more than happy to give you an overview of what a transportation agency at a metropolitan planning organization does. It's housed within the planning department, but it has federal responsibility and how it works. We're more than happy to give you that. And the second thing I would urge is policy should be based on data. And to have policies come out without essentially looking at the data or talking to the Transportation Council or understanding where the data takes us, I think is something that we're very much concerned about at the transportation level. Given how much money we have available and what those and where that money will be used and how it's best to be used. So one of the things I would urge the legislature to think about is, as we look ahead, make sure that we have the ability to essentially fund our existing system and make sure it has the can meet its capital needs, and then develop policies on the basis of those studies that come out and as we continue to update them.
Legislator Ernest.
Thank you. So a couple questions about this study.
No question.
The planner has identified a need for policy to follow data that studies produce. There's other data out there too. For example, I'm called every week by social services clients who are in temporary emergency housing through Ulster County. And they're telling me every week about their transportation needs. So will this study account for those, and if so, how, is my first question through the chair to the planner. And my second question is, will this at all study private motor vehicle usage and recommend any constraints on that, given the extraordinary amount of extravagant mobility that some enjoy in this county and the immobility that many others face? And it's not just about whether you're providing buses, but it's about what private vehicles do as well. Those are my two questions.
So the answer to the second question is easy. It's a no. We're not in the business of looking at private vehicle use as it relates to meeting transit needs. We do look at private vehicle use as it relates to congestion, air quality, those types of things, and the need to improve the highway system associated with that. And those studies are ongoing in various locations, and they need to also include pedestrian work and bicycle work. With regard to the needs of social service clients, as I mentioned before, those entities or places that generate a demand for transit are picked up in the study. So if there is demand for transit that is at a particular location, that would be picked up in the study. That does not necessarily mean that in response to that, you provide transit to those facilities, but you know that there's a demand for transit there. In many instances, some of that demand may be off route or some of that demand may be on route. And so you look at the routing systems and you say, can I move off route or do we have to deal with that in a special way? The example I would give you is that we can run special transportation buses associated with people that are aged or disabled, and that will come out in the other study I mentioned, which is the coordinated transit plan. And we do provide, the example I would give you is the Quality Inn in that is under construction and the Flatbush Avenue project. They receive monies under the Transit Coordination Plan, something called the 5310 program, to have actual buses
within their facilities to provide transit to those folks that are residents in those facilities. That's the kind of work that comes out with this. So you're not only relying on essentially the public fixture system, you're also relying on the special transit needs that come out in terms of the locations of various facilities. Does that help?
If I could, I mean, I have a comment on when we're looking at doing transportation studies such as we just did with the town of Ulster, there are vehicle counts, and I'm just wondering, are we looking at ways to solve the existing issues, say, with, you know, a bridge or a pedestrian path? Are we also including ways of cutting back on that traffic? You know, to get here, I went down Ulster Avenue again. That's terrible, especially when you get off of 90 and you were just doing like 80 miles an hour the whole time, and you get into this traffic where people don't signal. And I mean, do we address it? Do we look at that as well, or are we just looking to fix the issues that have been created because there's so many vehicles?
Wow,
that's a tough one, right?
If I may, what I would suggest is that. I think that this kind of discussion has a tremendous amount of merit, and I think that rather than try to do it via discussions on resolutions, mm-hmm. that it would be an important thing to sit down with. It doesn't have to be the entire committee or members of the committee, but sort of a kitchen table type of discussion to say, how do you approach transportation planning to make sure that we can meet the needs of the system, that the system can meet the needs of the people it serves. Mm-hmm. And that kind of discussion is complicated and it's complex, and it's not just about fixing the transportation system, it's also that everyone recognizes that interconnection between the transportation system and land use, which is why you start to build housing around transit demand centers, TOD, what they call TOD housing. It's why you build sidewalks and paths, crosswalks, all those
True.
Types of things. Yeah. And I'd be more than willing, and I know I have two very, very knowledgeable people relative to that discussion that can join us from the Transportation Council staff. I know that our DPW folks would give you a sense of what we're doing in terms of how we manage our existing infrastructure in terms of what we fix and why we fix it. And then I think that would help to understand that. I know Phil has participated in the Transportation Council's meetings, but the idea of sitting down one-on-one and understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it, I think, has a lot of value. And I would more than willing and actually urge that to happen rather than discuss these around resolutions.
Okay, thank you. Quite well taken.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say earlier, I think, and didn't say nearly as well. And I have experienced that there's no... I don't know of any legal way for us to directly... to direct the drivers of individual vehicles, private drivers. I don't know of a legal way to intervene to solve that problem directly.
Unless we get them on a bus.
So the indirect way is to improve transit and to improve options for non-motorized transportation, which is what I've been trying to do for decades. And it's because of my belief that the structure in this country is resistant to that head-on attack, if it's an attack, that head-on intervention. I've been trying to work with carrots rather than sticks, and I think there's been a shift in our culture because of that. I think there's also intersections with our need to decrease the carbon that we're putting in the into the air, and that there are some direct mechanisms that make people responsible for what comes out of the tailpipes of vehicles that are being driven. Or makes the cost of doing that through policies that affect gas pricing and so forth that are probably at the federal level rather than even the state level, and certainly not the county level. But all of that comes into play. So I would like us to figure out a way and work with the Department of Planning to have that bigger discussion and see if we are doing as much as we can with the available tools that we have at the county level to have that influence. And maybe even building in educational outreach that we might be able to do and aren't currently doing. And support for entrepreneurial interventions like shuttle systems. I think that's happening in Greene County in settings where people were driving their cars and making a public resource, parks and trails, less attractive and for everybody and not fair in terms of the access. But the government was not stepping in with a system. There are places to let private enterprise have a role as well. Mm-hmm. But that's way off the topic of this resolution in some ways, except that this resolution helps us with getting data to have informed discussions of those very issues.
Okay, Legislator Erner, and then I'll call the vote.
Thank you.
Had Director
Laval. I'm sorry, did I miss somebody?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
So I think the last point by Legislator Nolan and the planner's reply to my the no reply to the private car usage aspect is my point, and I do agree with Legislator Nolan's characterization of our ability to directly intervene on a county level. That said, I think we have influence up on the state level or federal level if we tell them that that's our opinion, that you need to intervene directly. The state and federal government need to intervene directly, holding accountable those who are responsible for the largest consumption of resources for transportation and making them consume less and emit less carbon. And at the same time, they and we together have the responsibility of not only accommodating but guaranteeing the ability to get around for people who don't have that right now. We also need to be thinking about where we go and why. Maybe some transportation that's done is not necessary, especially by people who really can go wherever they want, whenever they want, as much as they want, have that liberty. That's not the case for most working class people that I know or represent as their legislator. That's all.
Thank you. Legislator.
As part of that, we'd also have to tackle the issue of insurance, because I know my insurance carrier would not allow me to take and allow general public in my vehicle without it being registered as a bus. So you lose your insurance, then you do lose your ability to drive your car. So all of these questions are much bigger than the county can deal with, and probably even bigger than the federal government can deal with. But anyway, call the question.
Okay, I'll call the question on resolution. Where are we, number
484.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so I don't get lost. I'm going to go with 426, and then we will move back to the public works part of the agenda on the first page. 526, thank you. Resolution number, yeah, I'm sorry.
526.
I misspoke. I have the clerk here. Resolution number 526, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $31,094, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into with Ulster County Livingston Energy Group, LLC. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second. Any questions or discussions on
this? This is for EV charging stations, right?
Yes.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So I'm going to support this, but just will note that we here are, in my opinion, prioritizing further improvements for private motorists who are going to convert what kind of car they're driving to an electric car rather than a fossil fuel emitting car. I agree we need to burn less fossil fuels, but I also think we need to be having fewer personal private motor vehicles. So it's unfortunate to me that this will likely go through very easily, and making needed changes to the buses will not necessarily go through that easily. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Laval. Hello.
I would just like to provide that this is for fleet charging infrastructure, just to provide that clarification.
Are they doing the one at the sheriff's offices, the substations?
I believe that assessment is ongoing right now. This contract, I believe, is specifically to probation and related to DSS in here as well. But probation.
Okay. Legislator Erner.
Thank you, and I appreciate that clarification from the deputy executive. I will note that some of us in the legislature have also asked that we look at how much our fleet needs to consume as well, and can we decrease the size of our county fleet? Thank you.
Thank you. So, no other comments. I will call the vote. All in, yes, legislator Miller.
Sorry, what's the 50% other on this? It's 50% county and 50% other. Is that funding to be determined?
Other funding, grant funding, funding sources. NYSERDA. They'll also be looking for
federal
and also Central Hudson Move Ready. So they'll be looking at all of these.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. All right, now we're back on the first page. Resolution number 447, abandonment of portion of Albany Post Road, County Road number 79, Town of Gardner, to adjoining property owner, authorizing the chair to sign agreement with the adjoining property owner.
Motion
for discussion. Thank you. Legislator Nolan, second.
For discussion.
For discussion. Legislator List?
Yep.
All right, I open the floor. We did receive information from a local, what was it, assessed. The realtor believed it was valued at $10,000. That's not an offer, and it's not included in this resolution as an offer, but now we know that the property has value to the county as much as it does to the adjoining property owner. Legislator List.
Well, I was going to say, in the resolution, the conveyance and indemnification agreement says that we are accepting $1 for the purchase. But it's assessed by an independent realtor for $10,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
This is an LLC. I don't know who owns it. I don't know what their future plans are for the property. But I know there's a lot of constituents around the county that are adjacent to county property that is not being used for whatever public purpose and would love to have it given to them or buy it for a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Nolan?
So maybe we can have DPW add to this conversation. Part of the reason that I understand that we often offer these types of parcels for nominal amounts is that by keeping them on our books, we do have some administrative costs. We might even have some upkeep. So just the valuation of the acreage isn't the whole story. There could even be additional costs if we do want not to have this property on our books. We could have additional costs to the county of legal review if we have to get into negotiations over all of these. So I wonder if, you know, my sense has been that as a county we have this bucket of parcels that we handle in this way, because going into each one of them, getting this type of evaluation, has other kinds of costs that we don't want to incur. I'm not saying saying that that's the best practice or that it has benefited the county overall. I do think that we run into problems if there's a property that's very valuable with have we given a gift to a private property owner?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're going to look at this, we may need to look at that dimension. Maybe we have to incur some costs in order not to benefit somebody unduly. But I would imagine that DPW is the department that has the greatest number of such issues come to it around these type of parcels. It seems like we've had this happen many times in the time that I've been coming to Public Works Committee meetings as well as serving on the committee, and that we're giving special attention to this one that is different in kind, in my experience, than to prior properties. And I'm wondering, which way should we go? Should we go to having this level of inquiry and building in, you know, a purchase price that reflects property valuation, or is there justification for not doing that?
And if I could just follow up with that, and then Legislator Litz will defer to Public Works. This is a private developer. I looked at some of the other LLCs to file. Originally, the individual lived in Gardner, now lives in Poughkeepsie. It is land along the Walk Hill, and it looks like she develops, you know, housing for students. So this is a you know, money making. It's a profitable entity. And I don't recall transferring property at no cost to private entities. I mean, we've done it for USITA and to towns, and I keep thinking specifically one we had taken through taxes for the Rosendale Rail Trail, but that was transferred to either the town of Rosendale or to the Walk Hill River Trail. But I mean, it does have a value, and it would certainly assist this developer who's going to be making a profit get through the planning process, because now it's a conforming larger piece of property. Legislator Litz?
Could I just clarify
yes.
that? I'm remembering that there have been, it seems to me, individual residences and other businesses. I think there was a business, a restaurant down 209 a couple of years ago, where we made transfers of small pieces of property that no longer have value to the county. All of them have value to the individuals who received them, and we handled them in this nominal way because, again, there are process costs to treating them more as the sale of a valuable piece of property than the removal from the county's management of a property that's isolated and serves and provides no benefit to the county.
Legislator Litz?
Okay. I have a couple of concerns. One, it's a private entity. This is a profitable piece of property to that individual and probably to anyone else who would want to buy it. This is specific to this property. I know, you know, in generalizations on how we're going to treat things, but we should look at every single piece of property. I don't know if you've looked at this property. It's a level piece of property. The road used to make like a 90-degree turn and go across the Walk Hill River right adjacent to the Tuttletown Grist Mill. When the road was realigned, the new bridge now is farther up or downstream on the Walk Hill, so now and the old bridge was removed. It is on the water, which makes it maybe a little more valuable, but it has value. Other concerns are people in the county lease county land. We got a good example right out that window. The deck for Santa Fe is county property. They lease that land. They pay the county. Why don't we sell it to them for a dollar? I mean, obviously, the county doesn't need the property. They have a restaurant deck and tables there. I don't know why we would just give property away to individuals. I understand we have given it to nonprofits. On the corner of South Shattuckey Lake Road and Old New Paltz Road, which is a county road, there was a project to realign the road because of site distance. The corner house came up on the rolls for the county rolls. So rather than realign the road, we took the house down and gave the property to the town of Lloyd. So that was a win-win situation. I don't think the county needs this piece of property because the old bridge is not there anymore. The road is realigned. The new bridge is downstream from the existing bridge. But it has a value. You know, and what's ironic is the person who wants to buy the property went to a realtor and said, can you give me an assessed evaluation on this? And the assessed evaluation was anywhere from $10,000 to possibly as high as $47,200. You know, there's other values in here. But this was the person that's going to acquire the property getting an assessed evaluation from a realtor. At very least, if this person does acquire this property, you know, what's the town going to use for the evaluation of this additional property? They bought it for a dollar. They're probably going to probably look at this and say it's worth $10,000, but you bought it for a dollar. I don't know why we're selling county property to individuals for their profit and not ours.
Legislator Erner and then Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. So I appreciate Legislator Nolan's question, and I'll look forward to hearing from the department soon about the process stuff. And I tend to agree with Legislator Litz's characterization of this, and if we were taking a vote right now, I'd be a no. Why not lease it out? It's not even the entire parcel. So in terms of process, whether we sell this piece or we lease this piece, we still are going to have the rest of it to have our process costs, legal review negotiations came up as well. And in general, I'm not a fan of turning over public property for profit use as well. Like Legislator Litz said, I agree with him. And a couple other technical questions. I haven't been down to see the parcel, but is it on the Walk Hill or on the Shongum Hill?
Walk Hill. Was I wrong?
Okay. And I can't actually find the county's parcel.
It's a piece of right away. So that's why.
Is this the correct location?
Yeah, you're right in the right location.
So the parcel viewer, doesn't identify rights away. Is that what my problem is?
Well, it doesn't identify it as a separate parcel. It's within the county. I'm sorry, Chair.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
And that's it's within the chair. The county's general right away.
The realigned road to the river.
Yeah.
All the way up to the intersection.
So I know that like properties that we foreclosed on, for example, that might have had a residence, I can click and it'll say this is Ulster County. Is there something we can do to get the parcel viewer to include these other properties that are just county rights away?
They are literally, if I may, they're literally part of a county right away. They're not a parcel. They're literally part of a county right away.
Okay.
You see that frequently over by like the old bridge in Port Huron downwards. Yeah. Legislator Nolan, and we'll defer to Public Works, or at least add enough discussion.
I don't think it's urgent to make this conveyance, and I think that this may be a cut point. You know, when people think that there's a value to a property, it's a value to the owner, not to the county. But maybe it makes sense in this case to send this back, you know, to postpone, you know, the sale under the current terms and go back and maybe have somebody look at whether or not we should sell this for the $10,000. I do, my reading of the document that was submitted was that the realtor said that the property was worth $10,000, not some other figure. And there were other figures discussed, but there's twice the statement that $10,000 would be, one point called fair value and then another point called the value. If people think that this document is not sufficient because it was obtained through a realtor contacted by the property owner and not by the county, then we could pay some money and go get a separate evaluation. I don't think that we need to do that, but perhaps when the people raise the issue this property is more valuable than a nominal sum, then we should do something mm-hmm. like this. And I don't have any problem postponing and asking DPW to consider going back and renegotiating the price on the property, given that concerns have been raised that this might be an unconstitutional gift. So that's what I would ask the department to look at and help us sort through. I think if they did this every time we have one of these little pieces, that it would be potentially very costly to the county to go through this process for, you know, small fragments. You know, this is more than a tenth of an acre. It's 0.15 of an acre. But maybe the department could illuminate their thinking process of how it came to us in this fashion.
And we will still have to go through a process because we can need to move the lot line over. So that's but legislator Lee.
Well, I mean, I don't think the county should bear that cost. I mean, this individual obviously paid this realty company to do the assessment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why not? I mean, if somebody wants a piece of property, they can go through that process, pay for that process, get their lawyer to draw up or whatever paperwork and pay for the closing. The county shouldn't have to bear any costs here at all. And even just to write this agreement costs more than $1 to the county.
Costs more to rewrite it. Sorry.
Unless the lawyer for the person acquiring the property does the rewrite and bears the cost.
Through the chair of the legislature, list, we cannot have a private attorney writing our contracts. They can suggest language.
Even our vendors write contracts that go through our legal department. So anyway, neither here nor there.
Okay.
All right. So we will take no action on this one, but, or a motion to postpone.
No, is there anything from the department?
DPW, chime in.
I'm not an advocate. Anyway, for this person, there's no policy in place. I think that's the problem. There needs to be a policy in how the county handles these requests.
Yeah, that's part of what I'm
saying.
Good
thing to work on for next month. Legislator Litt.
Actually, I think we do have a policy. Any property that the county does not see a perceived or a future use for, we can put up in the auction block and sell it.
Did we ever pass the policy to review all properties that were going up on the auction block to see if they had a better, higher value?
I believe we did.
I think the department is doing that.
At some risk. And Brendan, please stop me if you feel I need to. Is people need to understand. The key is how do we get here? And how we get here is essentially that in highway law, there's an abandonment procedure, mm-hmm. right? So the highway law actually contemplates that a county or a state or others can essentially look at its highway right-of-way to decide, because of things such as this bridge moving, that it no longer leaves the right-of-way for highway purposes. Mm-hmm. It then, the law then provides that essentially you can abandon it to an adjoining property owner. You're not abandoning it to somebody else or a guy that crossed the street. It's abandoned to the adjoining property owner. The idea being is that there's some benefit to the adjoining property owner from acquiring the property, and there's some benefit to the county or the entity that's abandoning the property no longer going to have to worry about it or have liability associated with it. The legislature, in looking at those abandonments, and we have others coming up. We have, for example, when the state acquired state highways, when they built state highways, the county actually acquired those right-of-ways. Mm-hmm. So we have an abandonment process going on right now in Route 9W and Route 209, where the state is determining that it does no longer needs all of that right-of-way for highway purposes. They're going to abandon it to the county. The county's going to abandon it to the adjoining property owner. So it's not just a one-off type of thing. We abandoned property to the fire district in Cripplebush, as I recall, in order for them to have proper access. Mm-hmm. The policy here could either be, one is that we'll abandon the adjoining property owner looking at individually at the properties as to whether or not there is a need for an appraisal. And if you want to make the need for the appraisal, you can make the appraisal, in terms of legislative list discussion, you can make the appraisal contingent on that has to be borne, that cost has to be borne by the adjoining property owner. Mm-hmm. The question then becomes is, they say no, do you still want it? Does the county still want it? And that's the real question. In this case, the answer may be yes, and you can ask that question. So the first question we ask is, we would only abandon it based on an appraisal borne by you, by a certified appraiser, reviewed by us. That comes to the legislature, you make the decision based on that. Then if the property owner, if he's smart, says, I don't want it that bad, but if you want to abandon it to me for a dollar, I'll be happy to take it off your hands. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make the determination as a body as to whether or not there's value to you to potentially abandon it.
I mean, this particular piece of property, you can go there almost any time during the summer, and there's cars parked there because they go swimming in the
liability
in the walkout. But it would be a perfect place for a park. You could put a bicycle rack so people could ride their bicycle there and go swimming in the summertime. I don't know. It just seems odd to me that we would give a piece of property to someone that their explicit purpose is to make a profit. And it's not even an individual, it's an LLC. And you couldn't, and this LLC would not lease the property because the planning board is not going to give them approval for their project on leased property. So they want to buy it.
So, motion to postpone, or more thoughts on this?
I don't know. I'm happy calling the question.
Yeah.
Well, so in terms of calling the question, it just seems to me that if the property owner is interested in purchasing the property and paying a higher price, that seems to be worth thinking about. And I'm taken that the way that these issues come up is through a process of abandonment, which is basically the county's acknowledgement that it either the property has to us zero value or negative value as in terms of liability. So I think we need to have legal counsel look at this in terms of whether we can develop a policy that covers all such properties, such as that when we say that they're abandoned, it's zero or negative value, and therefore it is proper to take $1. That might be what a legal opinion would say, or they might say no, that if you have reason to believe that it's more valuable to the person receiving it, that then you have to have a different process. That seems kind of off to me, even acknowledging that we're not trying to benefit the person who's receiving this property. So I think a postponement does make sense. I'd like to have more clarity on this. This particular parcel seems to be the tough case that illuminates the general issue, and it it doesn't seem like there's a rush on it, so why don't we think it through? And then if we want to not sell it, I think we ought to also have a process by which we can trigger the kind of reflection that Legislator Litz is bringing of, does it actually have a county purpose? Is there a better and higher use? And maybe it's when the resolution comes to us that we raise that and we say, no, let's not sell it until we look at that. Then who do we charge to look at the property and determine that? Does that go to somebody in the executive's office to look at? Because at that point, it's not DPW. That's not their strength. They know that they don't need it anymore. So maybe there needs to be a process by which we can trigger that kind of reflection. If we had a land bank and we had a committee that was managing the land bank, that's the kind of thing I would guess we would take to them. We don't have that yet. But it's been talked about and potentially even proposed. So maybe I think that Deputy Director Laval should look into this for us.
You got that one.
Bridges, you want to say?
It is a bigger. There are a lot of these, especially around bridges, where there have been realignments. I think it's good to have kind of a global weighing of things about public access. You know, they're often really, really good fishing access, creek access. They also tend to be in floodplains. So, you know, there is also a sensitivity about that, too. So I think, that it does warrant, like, a more global look, but, you know, also this area it's pretty large with the parking access, and so there might be a way to accommodate both, where you can have public access and also, you know.
I think if I didn't already move to postpone, I'm certainly willing to do that. I think one of the things is this is 0.15 acres as opposed to 0.015, which some of these have been, or, you know, less than a tenth of an acre. So maybe there is a way for us to develop a schema by which on the size and maybe some location that we could trigger a more elaborate process before we get to the point of offering the parcel. I think, you know, the fact that we have already offered this parcel and had some discussions and had an appraisal, I think we should look at what obligation that puts on us at this point. But delaying to look at all those issues for at least a month, I think, makes sense to me.
Okay. All right. So I'll make that motion. Motion on the floor to postpone. Second? Can I second it? All right, I will second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Boy.
Opposed?
Okay. So it fails.
All right.
So that case, I think we have to take a vote on it.
Yeah. All right. So all in favor of resolution number, where am I now? 470?
447.
In favor?
Aye.
Opposed.
Right. Resolution number 476, amending capital number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center Energy Upgrades for Construction Services for Mechanical Refrigeration Project. Motion for discussion?
Motion.
Okay. Second?
Sorry, what's the number again?
This one is 476.
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention.
Abstention.
Abstention lives.
On the basis of employment?
Employment.
Okay. I don't know. Should we just do the veterans one so that doesn't get lost in the process? It's the only one left on this page.
Sure. Okay.
Resolution number 482, authorizing a memorandum of agreement with the Village of New Paltz to provide water to the Ulster County Veterans Cemetery.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. On to the next page, resolution number 527. Approving the execution of a contract for $317,949 entered into by the county with GRNE Nelnet LLC.
Right. DBA, GRNE, yeah, solar. Yes. I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Any discussion on this? I did that while I was speaking. I had to change it, so I crossed it off.
I got you.
Okay, thank you. All right, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you.
I'll make a motion.
Motion to block?
I'll make a motion. We block 528, 529, and 530.
Okay,
second.
Thank you. On the motion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll make a motion. We approve the block.
Okay.
Second.
Or approve the resolutions in the block?
Resolutions in the block.
Okay.
Well, a block.
We voted to block.
Okay. We made a vote. Yeah,
on the block.
Exactly.
And Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So it looks like the difference among these is that for Gardner and Shandaken, it's year-round maintenance, and for Hardenburg, I'm sorry, the other way around, it's winter maintenance, and then for Hardenburg, it's year-round maintenance, and it looks like we have a performance fee included, therefore, for the winter ones, and then an escalation fee for the year-round one. First of all, is that all accurate?
Now, could we clarify?
Yeah, these are basically the same agreements we had. We just adjusted the dollars to the current labor rates and equipment rates.
Okay.
Does that answer your... Okay.
It does. Follow-ups?
Yes.
Thank you. When we make these agreements with the towns, do they have to follow anything involving our own fleet policies? Or like, I didn't have a chance, unfortunately, this month to read all the backup as carefully as I'm used to. So do they have to follow all of our county policies, kind of like Legislator Liss's legislation would clarify as a requirement? One example I'm thinking of is Green Fleet. I notice we're charging for the diesel fuel, or getting charged for diesel fuel usage. And are they on a similar schedule to convert to alternative types of motors as we are in the county?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
May I have a good question? Yeah.
Third point. So I'd like to move for resolutions 528 and 530 that we just amend the title to reflect that this is specifically winter maintenance for those two towns.
I don't have legal counsel here. The clerk is here. Can I put you on the spot? And can we do that?
Yeah, you can make the title of the resolution whatever you want.
Yeah. We don't have a second for that motion.
Is there a second for that motion?
Can I explain why I'm not seconding?
Yeah.
I think that it is more precise, but it's not necessary to be that precise. And so I'd rather just not do it, because I think then if we're kind of, I don't know, I just feel like it's sufficient as it is.
Because we could get into the definition of winter then.
Right. When does winter start? And we start having, if we're looking for these resolutions and we search for, I guess actually that could be helpful to have winter maintenance in the title.
Yeah, but we've had snowstorms in November and ice storms in April and May. I mean, it's still winter technically, I guess, because it's frozen.
Right. I think we're contracting, and these. So I have a lot. I have a lot of these in my town, out in Shandaken and Hardin, my district. And so I just think that leaving a little more flexibility, this is what we're paying them for, but I think what happens is the towns start to think of them as their responsibility.
Yeah.
And so we may get a little free summertime maintenance out there if a tree falls down or something, if it's written this way. Mm-hmm. If we write it as winter maintenance, then are they doing something illegal by help doing that? I don't think we need it.
Clerk Fabella.
The resolution is approving the agreement that goes with
true.
The resolution. So whatever you title the resolution is not going to affect the actual agreement.
Right.
Legislator Arnold.
And just to clarify, I mean, yes, it's not... Yeah, originally I was going to propose snow, because it says about snow clearing and salting and sanding. And then the other one also says something about limited summer maintenance, which is in one of the whereases for all of them. But then it specifies that there is some other maintenance that's seasonal, that's for a different season normally, for Hardenburg. I don't
care if we change it or not. I thought it would be helpful, though, for, as I was reading through these, I had to read it twice to understand the difference among them, and that might have made it quicker for me to understand.
Okay, we had a motion on the floor with no second. So all in favor of the resolutions as blocked?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Yep. Resolution number 531, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $40,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Butler Construction Group. Motion for discussion?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Aye.
Any discussion? All right, hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 532, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $15,488, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Energy Management Technologies, LLC. Thank you. Second?
Which one is it?
532. Energy Management Technology.
Yes, I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I would just note that Legislator Erner
has
out of the...
Resolution number 533, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $171,370.15, entered into by the county with Southeast Mechanical Corporation. Motion for discussion?
So moved.
Second?
This is for maintenance, right?
This is for maintenance.
No, this is to the
mechanical
unit that you approved earlier. 476. This is for the installation of those.
So it's for the mechanical refrigeration project?
Yes.
Okay. Legislator Erner has re-entered the room, so there's no questions. I can call the vote.
You don't have a second.
We don't have a second. We need a second on resolution number 533.
May I second it, although I wasn't in for the first?
Remove it.
Okay, I'll
second. No, not remove it. Move it again.
Any questions? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have one abstention, Legislator Litz.
That is correct.
All righty.
Ask Legislator Erner for his vote on resolution,
531 and 532?
Aye. And aye.
Thank you. We have one more public works. Number 547. It's Chip. Can we move on to that in this way? Director Masterson can catch the bus. I've got 40 minutes and then I've got Resolution 547.
I'll move it.
Amending the budget for the CHIPS wave. Okay, thank you. Any questions on this one?
Nope.
Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I would like to take a motion to block, if that is okay, resolutions number 534, 535, 536, 537, and 538.
I'll make a motion to block.
Second. Thank you. Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, we'll open up the floor for comment. Did you have something?
No, there was a...
What is your title, Mr. Parody?
Deputy Commissioner.
Deputy Commissioner, thank you.
I just wondered if there were any questions about Resolution 546. I just wanted to... What was that?
I'll put this block on the table.
Which one?
Move the block.
The appointment to the Electrical Licensing Board.
Oh.
That's fine.
I don't think I will. that is Public Works, isn't it? It didn't have the thing after. Mm-hmm. What is the will of the committee?
Well, I'm going to vote no, but
you're going to vote no
that's
on
just
it?
Me.
So should I remove that motion to block and we can go to 546 for discussion then?
We could table it, right?
Well, yes. It's only going to take a second to vote on the block. I mean, we're already in motion.
Okay, all right.
So if you want to wait a minute, that would be great.
Okay, thank you for that. All right, we have a motion on the block?
Yes.
And a second? All right. And we're okay, no questions? Okay, I'll call the vote then. Motion on the block.
Oh, we already did
the block. We just got a...
Wow, this one's tough. Maybe it'd be easier just to do each one individually. Okay, so...
And there's a motion and second to...
Okay, so we're all good. Let's just approve it. Okay,
we
let's
just
approve
to...
these. I'll take the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, great. Thank you. Resolution number 546, confirming appointment of a member to the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second. For the purposes of discussion, Legislator Erner.
Second.
Okay. We'll open up the floor for questions and comments.
I'd love to hear Legislator Litz's opposition. I'm not familiar with this candidate or any or the matter at hand other than this is a board.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the candidate at all. I voted no about creating the electrical board. I think it puts an undue burden on people in the county. I brought up the scenario about someone who does an outlet in their garage and there's a malfunction, it burns the house down, and the insurance company saying there wasn't a licensed electrician in Ulster County. It's just that I don't know, and there's people that have been electricians for 40 years in this county, and now they got to be licensed. And if you're licensed somewhere else, it doesn't make a difference whether you're licensed here or not. It's just a general objection. We have so many boards, and we're licensing everybody for everything. And pretty soon, you'll live on.
I mean, I understand that, but I've advocated for actually additional licensing. I always seem with the luck of the draw to get people who don't know what they're doing, regardless of how highly recommended they were. And I mean, I think I have a younger house and I just had a leak. Well, there's been leaks. This guy came in, he was going to save my life, he was going to fix all of the leaks, $10,000, and I would never have another problem. Well, it's not only is it now worse than it is, but the ceiling's leaking again. So I would like a way besides going through claims court and then having these folks go belly up and never being able to find them again. I'd like to have a way where they would have licenses pulled and couldn't, you know, practice their trade anymore. You know, so for that reason, I support the electrical licensing. I especially electrical licensing. But I'd like to see plumbers and general contractors included. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Couple questions. So one, weren't we going to adopt something that enabled someone who had a license in another county to port it in here, basically? That's the first question.
Typical license?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second question was, what do other counties do? Do other counties have these boards? Do they not have these boards?
Cities have them, but...
So, there was opposition from some of the residents of my district to forming this board, but I haven't have asked and have not heard complaints about the functioning of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And this, we did create it. That was a whole separate discussion, and this is appointing someone to serve on it. If we're going to have the board, I think we should have duly appointed members who are qualified, and I think this person is, so we should vote this person on to this. And if we want to look again at the question of having either more licensing or less licensing, I think we should do it on that topic and not in regard to appointing somebody to the board.
Agreed. All right. So that being said, I'd like to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Any abstentions? Okay, resolution passes.
Was it worth your wait?
I'm sorry.
Do you want to say something since you stayed?
I was enjoying hearing the discussion.
Thank you for saying. I didn't know if it would affect you in any way before hearing the comments.
All right. So we have Legislator Erner, do you want to make a motion to block 551 through, or do you want to pull 426 out and discuss that separately?
I'd like to take 551 separate because it's a little different than the other resolution.
All righty. So resolution number 551, setting a public hearing on a proposed local law number 11 of 2023, a local law providing for the protection of vulnerable road users, Bill of Rights at trail crossings, to be held Tuesday, October 17th. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second. Nolan, second. Turner? Okay, I'll open up the floor. Legislator Litz.
Yeah. I brought this up last night. At a different meeting. I suggested that the sponsor approach the New York State Department of Transportation and have them look at our resolution, because both the federal and state government have what's called the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And there's things that you can and cannot do unless it complies with the federal or state law. For instance, a town, a city, a county in New York State cannot change the speed limit without applying and getting approval from the New York State Department of Transportation. Whether you're in favor of that or you're not in favor of it, hey, it's our town, why can't we change it? It's law. requiring vehicles to stop at every trail crossing, I believe, is in violation of MUTCD. There was some discussion last night that a pedestrian crossing, if there's a pedestrian in the crossing, you have to stop. Mm-hmm. So if you got off your bike and walked your bike across, you would have to stop. But if you're riding a bike across, I believe it does not meet the requirements in MUTCD. Plus, there's a lot of things that bicycle riders have to adhere to that pedestrians don't, with regards to walking as opposed to riding your bike and the direction of travel, hand signaling, and those types of things. A pedestrian doesn't have to signal when they want to cross the street, you know, left turn. So I believe before we go looking at either passing or rejecting this proposal, it needs to be vetted by the people that are in control of the law, just to make sure it complies.
Legislator Nolan?
Yes, I agree with that, and I think that there are, this resolution heads in a lot of directions that I totally support. I think it does bring some things together that would be better separated, such as addressing speed limits in a separate resolution from crossings. And I think that there, in both cases, there still needs to be the review that Legislator Litz is suggesting. I would also like to have our transportation planners look at the law itself. And so I'd rather put off setting a public hearing until we can take the pieces of this that we are able to do legally as a county and that we want to do, put them into a better form for moving forward, and then hold the public hearing on what we create from this. I think it's a really welcome idea. I think this suggestion was made at some other committees that this be looked at by planning, transportation planning, by the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. It would be great to have the sponsor bring this to that committee and go through it. So I think this is really great to have to start a discussion, but I don't think it's ready yet for us to pass in this form. And I'd like to see us come up with some things that we can pass.
So to the sponsor?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate those suggestions. So let me explain a little of the origin of this.
Oh, one other committee that didn't get in my list before, Traffic Safety Review Board maybe should take a look at this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. May I? Mm-hmm. Thank you. This originated through members of the Traffic Safety and Trails Committees in part, and also other members of the public who are not on those committees, who are expressing a broad agenda of traffic safety for what they'll call, and others call, vulnerable road users. So I want to say around New Year's, I had a conversation with Councilor Ragucci about an A through Z list that these folks had proposed, and we went through one by one. Which of the ones can the county implement to his legal knowledge, and which could it not? And we came out with, I thought it was only about four. I double-checked last night. It was a few more than four, but it certainly wasn't even the majority of them. So I've had some legal review around what can and can't be done, and to my knowledge, he did not rule this out. Now, I have not gone to the manual of uniform traffic control devices yet, so I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to return to the Trails Commission that I have. I did present this broadly to them many months ago, but I have not brought this specific one yet to them. I'm happy to do that. And I did 2 months ago mention to the Traffic Safety Board that this was coming up, and I'm not sure whether they've taken a look at it. I didn't go to their most recent meeting this month. The speed limit, whereas, is actually a vestige. I'm glad that Legislator Nolan pointed that out. That would properly, I agree, belong in a different piece of legislation. I am interested to know whether, unfortunately, I know the Public Works Commissioner had to leave, but he and I did also talk about this 1 week ago, where he told me that my understanding from our conversation was that a trail crossing in Kingston is slated to be outfitted with an actuated gate that either the trail user would press the button and a gate arm would go down as a physical barrier for the cross street, or it could be activated as the user approaches automatically, or some combination of that, which to me sounds fantastic.
That would come across the street or across the trail?
It would come across the street so that when a trail user is coming, it makes the cars stop.
And if the planner, it's pretty much illegal.
I'm sorry.
I have heard discussion of this, and it seems possible that people are conflating the placement of the traffic bars
on Washington
for the railroad with something happening for a trail.
It's not.
I'm sorry, so which is it for?
It's for the Catskill Mountain Railroad. I'm sorry.
Yes,
sir. Director Doyle.
So there are, actually, there's work being done to install gates and flashers, which are under what they call Section 130 funds on Washington Avenue for the railroad. There are not plans at this point in time to install any, to the best of my knowledge, there's no plans to install any blockades with respect to public streets and trail crossings of public streets so that the cars themselves would stop. There are devices that do that. The example I would give you is obviously the normal pedestrian devices that are associated with street crossings. But even in those instances, you have to wait for the street to close and the signals to be actuated to cross. And the concern that the Transportation Council staff that I had look at this resolution was from them that in point of fact would violate vehicle traffic law relative to how to treat bicycles and pedestrians in crosswalks. and trails don't enjoy a separate statute in order to make that happen. And in point of fact, bicycles would have to stop, and by stop they actually have to put their foot down, and then they're allowed to cross, but they don't enjoy, in this crosswalk, they don't enjoy anything unless they dismount. Mm-hmm. We do have stop signs on our existing trails right now that require stops. So think of this as like you would do in any pedestrian crossing in the city or elsewhere, that you're literally required to stop and wait. And then there's a yield situation in New York State law that would require people on trails to essentially yield to those individuals in a crosswalk. I'm sorry, the people on the road to yield with those individuals in a crosswalk. The real danger here, in my mind, is that assuming that cars actually understand this, for people from outside of the region, and you have cyclists and pedestrians proceeding through a trail intersection in speed limits at 45 and 55 miles an hour when they cross county roads, is likely to be more dangerous than essentially requiring the status quo, where you have a substantial amount of warning signs ahead that there is a trail crossing, requiring those individuals to stop, and then making sure that people understand that those crosswalks are treated like crosswalks elsewhere, and they have to yield for people that are at the trail crossings. The staff had some concerns about this, and were willing to express them in writing if need to.
Legislator Erner.
Yeah, I would appreciate seeing those concerns. It sounds to me like they center around the giving of the right-of-way to the trail user, which I know that's what this says, but I think the purpose could be accomplished by enacting more protections that the roadway user will stop. And I would like to go so far as to explore having that happen as a more matter of course, that there are examples of this, perhaps not in New York State, but in neighboring states and provinces, where a trail user, even in a rural area, basically has equal priority with a road user. Everyone has to stop. And if we think back to a lot of the rail trails that we have in Ulster County when they used to be railroads, well, everybody had to wait for the train, and it's ironic now that now the car user gets the priority, but the priority was never for the least protected user of all. And I would say, if you're in your car, what's your big hurry? Slow down, wait for the people to get across. It's not enough necessarily. I understand culturally the yield is what people are used to, but the state law did change where it's now not just your half of the crosswalk, it's the whole crosswalk that you have to stop. So sometimes the law needs to lead the culture.
So I think we're in agreement. I don't think we're in disagreement with that. If that's the thrust of our argument here is, or what I've heard from staff was that there are rights of crossing at trails. There's just not an unfettered right of way. You know, if you're at the crosswalk, there is a responsibility from the car to yield to you in that crosswalk. That said, if you're approaching the crosswalk as a cyclist, you just can't ride through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that seems to be what this resolution is contemplating, that you'd be able to ride through it, and somehow the cars are supposed to stop. But if we're looking at essentially maintaining a status quo, then my sense is that it's already in place.
Legislator Nolan and Legislator Erner.
Yeah. So the way I read this is that we would be implementing stop signs that would stop traffic or other signalization. And in discussion of this in the health committee, we could only identify three or four county trails where there are these types of intersections. So what I would like to see, and I'm heading towards asking for a postponement or take no action on this, is that we actually look at how many intersections the county is in control of that would be suitable for considering whether having the vehicular traffic stop in some way, either on a on-demand signal or some other device. And then look at those and see what the considerations would be. If I've understood the intent of the law, that would be it, is that we basically have more situations in which drivers are required to stop by the nature of the signage on the road, and that does then provide the opportunity for trail users to cross those intersections during the time the vehicles are stopped, rather than just a yield situation. So I think it is quite different than the status quo.
Legislator Ernest and Legislator Litz.
Legislator Litz can go first.
I was going to say, before we even consider enacting a law, this committee should send this to county council and have them review it, because I don't think we want to enact a law and pass a law that is in direct conflict with state and federal laws. They take jurisdiction over us, so we should at least pass it to council and ask them if this is in compliance with state and federal regulations.
Okay. All right, so would you entertain a motion to postpone?
I would. I have one more thing to say, but
okay.
I can speak after that.
Absolutely.
Motion as well.
No, that's fine.
If you will. Okay. Yeah, thanks. I am happy to do as Legislator Litz has suggested and send to all the council and verify if this would not violate, or if it does, then obviously I will be happy to change it if it does.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to reiterate that, and Legislator Nolan has understood correctly the intention, which is somewhere in the middle of, I admit, what it says and what the discussion has been, but I just want to reiterate that, you know, the current paradigm where it's assumed that cars are king, and this is attempting to address that in a praxis way. I'll leave it there. Thank you. I'll move to postpone.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Next, resolution number 426, establishing the Transit Riders and Intermodal Advisory Committee. There is a new version of that attached to your packet that was provided by our clerk.
I'll move it.
Well, okay. I was going to make a motion to block 426, 464, 427, 428 and 429 for discussion.
I'll second that block for discussion.
Okay. Can we vote on one without doing the others?
I'll withdraw my motion.
All right. Okay. All right. Motion on the block. Do we have a second?
Yeah. Those
okay.
two did that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so now we have to do a motion to move forward with the block and then open for discussion.
I'll move the block.
Thank you. Second?
Second for discussion.
All right. Open this up for discussion.
So I'm just receiving at the time of the meeting,
I think it was mailed out Monday or Tuesday.
The changes?
Yeah.
Are you asking me, Chair?
Well, Legislator Nolan, I wanted to make sure that there was time to vote on this one.
Yeah, well, this was reviewed in health, and I had asked for intermodal to be added. It wasn't there. So I think this is different than what I saw previously.
Yeah.
And it's in the direction that I was requesting. So maybe we could just have on 426 the sponsor go through the changes.
Okay.
So that we know where to.
Okay. 426.
So that I'm ready to vote on this.
Establishing Transit Riders and Intermodal. Moving down to the 1, 2, 3, 4th, whereas, and other modes of transit. What we are looking at with this is connectivity. The resolved, even though that is, there's some bolds in there, those had already been added. And that was with a request to have some legislative representation, because as Legislator Erner and I will not be here next term, we want to ensure that it's not just a grassroots group making any recommendations to this legislative liaisons. We were asked by the executive's office to clarify that this advisory committee would not be making recommendations to the executive's office, but the recommendations would be coming through the Public Works Committee or the committee where transportation fell under. So that was...
And where is that? Has that been added?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is. It's next to the last resolve.
Yes.
Shall make recommendations to the Public Works Capital Improvement
Correct.
And Transportation
or
Committee.
Or Committee of Jurisdiction. Correct. So other than ensuring that it said intermodal and putting in that paragraph where they would be making recommendations to Public Works or Committee of Jurisdiction, that is it.
So
other bolds were previous from previous versions.
I don't know if it was my motion to block this. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was remiss. I think 426 should stand alone,
mm-hmm.
and the other
mm-hmm.
four can be blocked,
mm-hmm.
because this deals with establishing a committee,
mm-hmm.
and all the others are establishing
policy.
The discussion I wanted to have about the other four is generic to all four, but not generic to 426.
That was going to be my comment. I'd like to either move to remove this from the block, or if those who move the block would amend their motions.
I
to
will
take
amend
this out.
My motion for
okay.
the block to not include resolution 426.
Okay.
And the second has to approve that.
Sure.
Okay. So, we'll call the vote on the amendment.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Okay. So that means we have to put down 426 and discuss 427, 428.
I think we can discuss either the block or 426,
yeah.
and we're discussing 426.
Yeah, we can do 426 before the others.
I think that the... the changes are minimal from the prior.
They really are. They
from
they
the prior
in
committee
there
before, and
with the exception of that one resolved, which made the executive's office.
Yeah, they are
more comfortable that they wouldn't be advising the executive's office.
So these are improvements, then I'd
be
prepared to vote on this.
What would be very helpful in the future is that. Like R1 or R2, because I have two copies here, and I don't see any difference in that.
Mm-hmm. Except for the last resolved, the second to the last resolved.
No, he's got two copies of the same resolution.
Oh, okay.
I guess that's the problem.
Yeah. That's
so, I mean, maybe in the future, when things are revised, we put like resolution... 426
like
up in the corner, R1 or R2
20.
Or
okay.
3 or whatever.
Excellent.
Yeah, so
let me throw this
clerk's
away.
Office,
that's not a big deal.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Put something up in the top corner
just
for the committee so you can see which one is first and which one is second.
That
yeah,
would be
well,
very helpful.
Well, actually, could you include it in the resolution number like you do when...
Yeah, online.
Online?
Well... then it would get that number after the amendment was adopted and it officially
oh,
changed.
Not when it's being considered for that little number.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
No, we do it at work all the time. We put down in the corner here, either
exactly.
R1, R2, R3, so
yes.
you know that
yes.
you have the most updated copy.
Yeah. We can do something like that.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just set policy.
Okay. Should we have a discussion on that? Legislator Erner.
So I'd like to clarify that what I'm looking at is what everybody else is looking at.
is it this?
flip the page, please.
Oh, you printed the one right off of your computer that was sent out,
yeah.
I don't believe the clerk made any changes. Did you find any discrepancies?
That's what I'm checking right now.
Whatever Michael sent out would have been the most recent thing.
I have what the chair has sent me. And, okay. I wanted to, okay. So, thank you. So, based on that, does advisory committee sufficiently distinguish this from a committee of a standing committee of the legislature that doesn't have to be a board or a commission?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And then we added in the paratransit, trails, bike safety under community and philanthropic organizations. Mm-hmm. I had thought also to add in something like social services organizations, but I guess that comes in under community and philanthropic, so I don't feel
and
the need to do
cetera.
That.
And
et cetera. Et cetera, sure. In the fully new resolve, the second to last one
is now,
let's just correct the word capital improvement because it's the capital projects.
That was me. Yes.
Thank you.
And then otherwise I'm ready to
Ready
to vote in support of this.
Good catch. All right, any other discussion? Do we have to make a motion to approve as amended?
Is that...
Yes. Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve as amended.
Present, okay.
Second.
Second, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Nonsense.
Okay, so on the block, which is already on the table,
so
we have 6 minutes.
We're open to discuss, right?
We're open for discussion, yeah.
Much when we discussed resolutions 483 and 484, I just think that these four resolutions obviously have merit. But they're talking about establishing policy before we have the benefit of the studies that we're paying $200,000 for.
I think we need more discussion on these, and we've had some, but not because we will have a new study. I think we could use the old studies for understanding most of this. I don't think that there's expectation that there'll be major changes. I think that the discussion that is not in front of us in these resolutions is cost.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero information about cost. And I don't see that we have a clear relationship to current policies and data that we have about demand and usage that might inform our looking, our broadening those questions in these upcoming studies. But I continue to think that we may have that these policies put in place a structure that isn't what I understand the public to be asking for. I also think there's potential that if we just adopted this as they are at present, that we would put these policies in conflict with our policies to provide housing, that we start to have demands on our funding through county resources that are more than we can meet. And I don't know the effect on other goals and policies that we've already set. So I'm willing to have that bigger discussion of how all the policies relate with each other and how each of them should or should not take into account constraints on available funding. But we haven't done that, and so I'm not prepared to vote to approve any of these. I would be happy to postpone them and try to have those conversations or on all of them or on some of them?
Legislator List?
Yes. Through the chair to UCAT, has UCAT reviewed these four resolutions, and do they have an order of magnitude as to what the cost would be and the number of buses, drivers, and et cetera we would need to comply with these four?
I can answer that. So we did look over these with Bill when we had a meeting, and in my opinion, to establish a policy first when we're doing this route optimization study, I think that they would have to go by our policy. And right now, by doing the route optimization policy, they will take a look at our manpower and the frequency of the gap. Right now, honestly, that the way to prevent gaps on these six route services with, you know, covering for lunch breaks, we don't have manpower right now to put additional buses to cover that. And once the route study is completed, they'll take into consideration, as our fleet is getting electrified, where the charging stations are and how many buses we will need to provide on each route. So I think that waiting to establish the policy and getting all of that information and the cost would be better than putting the policy before we have the information.
Just to follow up on that, if during the budget process, if we were to provide more bus drivers, do you have the infrastructure, do you have the buses for them to drive? No.
No.
So I'd just like to ask that we call it staffing rather than manpower.
Okay. I'm sorry. We have been getting a few more applications in, but not enough to meet all of these needs.
Okay.
Deputy LaValle and then Legislator Erner.
And I would just to add to Tony's discussion, this also is, you know, takes the study will do intensive public outreach in order in different ways to talk to riders, to look at needs, you know, and that will perhaps it will validate what Phil has been Legislator Erner has been hearing and how he's shaped this. However, it does have a public outreach component. It then has the route analysis component and then also the planning component. So all of that will be synthesized, and then there will also be a tool that will allow these decisions to be looked at through the lens of staffing and of how much benefit those have. Because we can't tell from, at this point in time, which of these would provide, if we have limited resources, limited buses, limited staffing, what is the best way to prioritize our actions? We don't know that right now.
Legislator Erner, and then Legislator Nolan.
Legislator Nolan can go ahead.
It's just a quick question of whether there can be some look at the carbon cost of pursuing these policies with our current fleet and with projected fleet, you know, just kind of rough. This would be a considerable number of road miles, I would think.
And also, we do not have the ability to even do that right now, like as far as the staffing and the vehicles. So it would be at reducing service in other routes in other areas.
Oh. So Can I clarify? So if these policies were implemented, then driving to achieve them, the ways that the department would be forced to utilize would be to reduce other service.
Another area.
Where we don't have a policy saying that those current users have to be served at that particular level. So that's a sticky issue. Yeah. Thank you.
What is the will of the sponsor?
Well, I have quite a bit to say, and someone I know had to leave now, so
yeah,
I'm not sure what to do about that.
I was just verifying. Can your chair take off if there's still a quorum? Or
should appoint someone to run the meeting, but with a quorum, they can continue.
Oh, okay.
Dean isn't here, so normally he would take over, but
right,
in that absence.
And I'm glad, because he wasn't feeling well, so.
Typically, in this situation, you see the most senior.
Okay.
Why is that
we're looking at you, but I'm sure Legislator Nolan would take
are you,
that on.
Are you leaving?
I do need to get my granddaughter off the bus.
Okay.
And if I'm not there, they won't let her off the bus. And my daughter will.
So let's see. When you left, Phil was the only person that had his hand up to speak.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. Phil.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You are left.
Do we need to make that a formal appointment?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to respond to all of the points just raised, but first I'd like to basically make a speech that I've prepared. So, I brought to you here a revised Resolution 464, the purpose of which was to consolidate, as we've now blocked four resolutions. I hope that you will also have before you the proposed amended Resolution 464, the purpose of which is to essentially consolidate those four resolutions, not to introduce anything.
I have two copies.
New.
Don't know which one is which.
The amended 464 has two full pages of whereases and then a page of resolves, if that helps.
Okay, the first whereas on this one is Ulster County Area Transit Operator by the Department of Public Transportation. This first whereas says, whereas 7.5% of Ulster County households having no car. Which one is which?
So the first one that you mentioned, Herb, is the proposed amended version.
All right, this is the last one. Get rid of this one.
So essentially what I would have liked to do, especially if we were moving ahead, if we were prepared to move ahead, which clearly we're not, would have been to amend 464, the most recent of these, to basically incorporate the four of them into what I'm now calling a public transportation level of service policy. And to a point made by Legislator certainly Nolan, maybe Legislator Litz, you made it as well, that that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about establishing levels of service for public transit in Ulster County. And it's my belief that these formerly four separate aspects are indeed all aspects of that. I would in no way claim those are the only levels of service, so it's not exhaustive in that way, but I didn't want to add anything. I think that would have been against our rules to do so after resolution deadline that hadn't already been presented. So, and I didn't have a new contribution to that this month. So that said, I mentioned earlier when our guest, Mr. Gergi, was here about this legislature, at least one committee decided we're not going to make our meetings more accessible by moving them around the county. And we know that we're still working on making meetings more accessible by reintroducing some of the electronic methods of calling in and so forth, like we had during the height of the pandemic. No, this legislation is certainly aspirational, and one of the tangible things that it instructs
our Department of Public Transportation to do is to get creative. And it gives examples of that. One of them is to go to other agencies that currently deliver public transportation services and see how we can work with them. And one example of that is school districts. We've heard about some of the challenges with that, but I think there's opportunities as well, especially with the two districts that currently have their own bus fleet. I know that a member of the Traffic Safety Board, Ms. Russo, who is a retired school bus driver, had some information that might be of use to the department in evaluating the possibilities around that. There's also community agencies that do transportation, and we have other county departments that do it as well. And so part of the point of this is to get a unified plan around all of that. Now, many community organizations have reached out to us in the legislature, have reached out to me personally, saying we need better transportation services for our programs. SUNY Ulster, BOCES have both said we need better connection for our students to get to school or to get to job opportunities. Arts organizations are saying we need art buses. Recreation organizations are saying we need rec buses. And I'm happy for the Department of Public Transportation to try and see what resources those agencies have, or could we partner, well aware of the concern that our funding from the state depends on people actually riding public transit buses as opposed to private transit buses. We also, I don't know whether the committee has received this message. If not, I apologize. I meant to send it from the Department of Regional Art Workers City Look Lab, which did a summer youth tour around buses, I believe specifically in the city of Kingston, and they came out with recommendations around infrastructure improvements, and they have a Padlet. I'm not familiar with that, but it's some kind of electronic way of looking at their findings. The City Look Lab Padlet. If the committee hasn't received that yet, please let me know and I will send that on. But I did correspond back with Draw afterward and thank them for sending me at least their research, and they had an interest in continuing to in working with us. They were not able to make it evidently here today. I wanted these groups of policies to work with the county executive's order number one of this year. There specifically is point 12 on there where UCAT is instructed to develop a plan, which I understand that the administration, the route optimization study is intended to do that. I also want to say that we need to be prioritizing the vulnerable and underserved, as well as those who might be able to make a choice what form of transit they're using. So we have a number of goals that I believe that this legislation would address. Lowering climate emissions by having more transit, more people taking transit who don't and not driving their cars. I believe that would do that. Increasing mobility access, especially for the immobilized, as mentioned before. In other words, folks who can't get where they need to go as it is. And improving efficiency of energy and materials usage for transportation. And has been discussed earlier this afternoon, this is part of a larger conversation. This is a part of a larger conversation of how we plan for Ulster County, how we plan both within the government of Ulster County as well as without the government, but how the people of Ulster County how we're planning our entire society, the energy and materials that we consume, of which transportation is a large part, as we know. In New York State, it's disproportionately large compared to other states. And the overall goal of all this legislation is to uplift communities alongside what I'll socioeconomic equitable development. I want to note that I got this pamphlet from one of the two state senators for Ulster County, Senator Hinchey's office, Tips for Energy Efficient Transportation. And I think there are a number of great tips on here, this and I think a lot of the discussion around transportation makes it seem as though it's around an individual choice. And even if this book I highly recommend,
we all policymakers in transportation take a look. Mobility Justice, The Politics of Movement in an Age of Extremes. The author points out the proposed Mobility Bill of Rights by Daniel Newman. But one thing the author points out is a shortcoming of a rights point of view is that still makes it seem that transportation, particularly policy around transportation, which is part of our charge, is a matter of individuals and what you get to do and what your privileges are. But we need to be thinking more about where's the greater good, where is the commonwealth in the transportation system. And so, while traditionally it seems that the county's business is, well, what's Ulster County doing? The reason that, and none of this is a law, this is all policy, right? So this is all directing us internally. But that was part of why I asked my question about the route optimization study and also the five-year plan. To what extent do those look at what private persons do with their own vehicles? Can we incorporate that somehow or other? Can we begin to actually regulate if there are individual or, I would say, corporate consumers who are really using more than their share? Is there any authority and will that we would have to rein that in so that there would be more resources left for the collective that we are here in Ulster County? There's only going to ever be so much materials and energy available to do transportation. So to me, the bigger question is, how do we distribute that? And so with all of that, I hope I've made clear the motivation for at least consolidating this as the level of service. I hope I've made clear that on one hand this is aspirational, getting transit to every town. There's at least three towns that I can think of in the county that have no buses that go to them right now. Town of Kingston, town of Hardenburg, town of Denning. I believe all the other towns have a bus.
Platicill's
got the X bus on weekdays.
Okay.
But you're right, Legislator Litz, like the W bus goes two times in the morning and one time in the evening. That's not really service to Shango.
How do you hold a job?
You can't. Okay. I know a county worker takes the bus back in the evening, but you point out a way in which the system currently doesn't serve us. So, and that's part of what I'm trying to do here. Now, these recommendations, most of them have come from reports that we've done, studies we've done, comments not just that I have compiled, but that the Transportation Council has compiled, that UCAT has compiled, that others whose job we've heard tonight is to do that again have done that. And I don't dispute the planner's assertion that we have implemented many of the things there, but I, especially in the last five-year plan, and the most recent plans of these, which I've seen, the 2020 to 2045, and I'm trying to remember what UCAT studies I've seen, but in general, there are many recommendations that are repeated in there by many riders or would-be riders that have not been implemented, and if there's reasons for that, we can talk about those. So, I have more to say about the formerly individual resolution, or that I guess technically there's still individual resolutions, but that have now been consolidated. But I did want to pause. Before I paused, one more thing that I wanted to say, which was so the UCAT director has mentioned we had had a meeting, and that was this week. And even before that, the deputy executive had discussed. Had expressed the willingness to explore some trials, some aspects, in other words, of what is contemplated here. And the deputy had asked me in that meeting, well, can you name one or three, up to three top priorities that we should implement sooner rather than later? And one of those that I named was social services transportation, especially for our folks who are placed out of county or they really have no option if you're in Greene County right now, or if you're just off an existing bus line. And we had explored that in a little bit, and could a bus line be extended a little bit, like the KS up at the end in the Saugerties end? Could a shuttle be implemented that specifically got the DSS folks where they needed to go, if they're trying to get to work, if they're trying to find an apartment? Kids getting to school, we already know, is covered by school busing.
So I appreciate the administration's willingness to look at what are the most urgent things that at least I'm seeing, but if not, you know, that we are seeing as a legislature. And I would love to discuss that more and hopefully have that move ahead, even if the bulk of this cannot at this time. So now I'll pause.
So I support your withdrawing resolutions 427, 428, and 429, and I could support a motion to amend resolution 464 so that we have the document in front of us that you're trying to create. But hold for a minute on that.
Yes.
My intent in doing that would be to give us your thoughts in their more fully formed manifestation. I'm still not prepared to move forward with dealing with these resolutions until we have a much clearer sense of how putting in place these policies would affect the other policies we have in regard to housing and other efforts to serve the public, even to the extent of maintaining roads and bridges, which I share your concerns. Maybe we shouldn't be putting as much asphalt down and having as many asphalt roads and bridges, but I don't believe in tearing something as big as this system is down and then coming up with what's going to replace it. I will be much happier. I think a lot of these are initiatives that we could discuss with the executive's office and that they're either already pursuing or would pursue in collaboration with us without formalizing it into a policy. So,
excuse me.
So that would be my recommendation, is that we get it in front of us so that we all know what we're talking about, and I think they are related in ways that make them being in the same document, same resolution, make sense. So I'd make that motion.
Okay. Further discussion. As temporary chair, I would make a friendly suggestion to the sponsor that we take no action. And you can clean up 464 because it needs to be cleaned up. Make a decision on what you want to do with 427, 428, and 429. Maybe at next month's meeting we have a more coherent resolution before us. And I also would suggest that you put some thought into the TBD at the end where it says final impact to be determined, because I think a lot of what this policy is going to revolve around is the ability of the county to actually implement the policy with either the finances we have now or what we can get in the future. And even, I know you're not going to be able to put the dollars and cents to the nickel or the penny, but at least some sort of magnitude under financial impact. And I would go to UCAT and let them help you, because I was blown away to find out that an electric bus costs 2.5-3 times what a regular bus does, and that it can't even complete a route. So in order to have that route, you need two buses, because one's on charge. Actually, you need three, because one's going down, you put that on charge. The other one's coming back, you put that on charge. So in order to get back down, you got to have a third bus, and then that one's charged, and you can hopscotch. So the potential is, for some of those routes, you're going to have to triple the amount of buses you have now, and those buses cost 2.5 times what a regular bus does. So just sort of clean up 464. If you're going to meld 427, 428, and 429 into it, and then figure out what you're going to do with those resolutions, withdraw them or modify them or whatever you're going to do. And at the same time, consider that the two studies that are going on is going to feed the information into your 464 policy. So that's my friendly suggestion, that we take no action at this time on those four resolutions, until we can get them in a more form that we can address.
Okay. So through the chair to the clerk of the legislature, if we took no action on all four of these resolutions, what would have to happen if my intention was to, for next month, to have 464 presented as this amended version instead of the four separates?
The only way to do that is exactly what Legislator Nolan suggested.
Okay.
So it can't come back in a magically clean form. This committee needs to adopt these amendments, not the resolution as amended, just the amendments. That would give me the authority to then clean it up and make it easier to read and follow.
Okay.
But there's still no action on the actual resolution as amended.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Can we postpone it for a month and those things happen?
You
no.
can't. If you postpone it, it's still postponed in its original form.
Okay.
You can adopt these amendments and then postpone it as amended. You can adopt these amendments.
Or what would happen if the sponsor withdrew all five and then produced a new resolution for next month?
That is legally allowable.
Probably cleaner, too.
So that suggestion is okay with me, but I don't think we have to have it. I'm convinced that the sponsor has put into 464 what you were saying that he could go and take a month to do. I think we may see more things once we have it in front of us completely with the amendments, but I think it would move us forward to see it with all the amendments in there and without strike-throughs. So I will make that motion again.
Okay, I'll second the motion.
And this is for postponement.
No, this is for amending, and then I'm going to make a motion to postpone. But it will be postponing
the
amended document so that when it comes back to us,
okay,
it will be what we want to be looking at.
So the first motion is to amend 464 as presented.
Correct. Period.
Even though we're talking about making a policy without the benefit of $200,000 worth
of... No, we're not talking
stuff.
About whether to vote on the amended resolution. We're just talking about whether to amend the resolution so that it says what the sponsor intends.
If I may?
Yeah. Sure, go ahead, Phil.
Thank you. And I appreciate Legislator Nolan making the motion to make that amendment. And I also appreciate the temporary chair's recommendation for withdrawing everything insofar as there... I might take the month and add another policy that I didn't have the chance to bring to this committee this month, but which would include similar things along these lines that would inform other aspects of a level of service. So I appreciate the opportunity to have this just clean and presented through what the clerk of the legislature told us she could do if we did it this way. Then even if I fail at bringing additional things, it'll at least come back in this form next month. And so that's why I seconded.
But I'd like to clarify that if we amend this, as I'm suggesting that we do, then my next move would be to postpone this, because I'd like to see it in that cleaner version, and I think it needs all the things that you have identified and that I've identified, and that legislators Petit and Fabiano might identify once they have it in a cleaner version looking at it in front of them. No, they're looking at it in front of them.
I'll call a question. All those in favor?
Aye. Of the amendments.
Yeah.
Any opposed?
I'm thinking about it.
It doesn't hurt to proceed, even if I have reservations and I think there's things in here that really don't belong or whatever, but I will vote yes on the amendments.
I make a motion to postpone Resolution 464.
Do I have a second?
As amended.
As amended. Do I have a second?
Yes, and I have some comments.
Okay. Open for discussion.
Thank you. So I'm happy to go to UCAT around the cost. Our clerk has told me that that would be a very difficult and time-consuming calculation, as you might imagine, to fully. But we need to know something about a cost, as that's part of our charge here, of course. It is the complete opposite of my intention for these policies to conflict with any housing policy or funding. They absolutely need to go hand in hand. As I've even said, people who are charged right now to house through social services are having trouble with transportation. And not being able to cover gaps, I hope that the department will figure out how to cover gaps, because quite frankly, a store is open 8 to 8, they don't close for 2 hours in the middle of the day. People have to be able to get to and from work, to and from shopping, to and from all the places, the whole hours that we're operating. So that is a top priority of mine, to cover those gaps one way or the other. Let us know what the resources are that you need to make that happen, please.
Well, we're going to pay a consultant money to study that.
But I'm saying right now we need that. It's not fair to make people wait 3 hours between buses. And that's not just the gap, the lunch breaks. That's just gaps in between going from two of the most traveled transit needy communities in the county, New Paltz and Kingston, on every weekday. So my point is that there are things that we know that need addressing right now, and it's preventing people from getting to work. It's preventing people from seeing their family on holidays, the fact they don't have holiday service. It's preventing people from a lot of things right now that we already know about. So, and there was one more point from the earlier discussion that I wanted to make, which is, nope, I've said enough. Thank you. I'm ready to vote on the postponement.
Any further discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor of postponing this?
Aye.
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 And is the sponsor withdrawing 27, 28, and 29?
Can I say so now, since it's now all included in 464? Yeah, I can say that now. Yep. I will withdraw resolutions 427, 428, and 429 for further consideration.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The planning director has a comment.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of thoughts. And I really dislike being sort of a negativity discussion here, but I think it's worthwhile. One is that I think the idea of looking into those portions of the transit system that can be tweaked to essentially make it more efficient is extremely important. And the idea of that, looking into that, how we look into that on a short-term basis is something that you should task us with to do. The other thing I would say, and I think Legislative Lips has said this quite a bit, is that there is going to be some informative work that's coming out, not some, but quite a bit of informative work that's coming out of the studies that we're going to be doing. But I want to give you a sense of the magnitude of the costs that you're facing with respect to your transit system as it currently is formed, and some of the costs you can likely expect as you begin to start to think about expanding services. And I do this on the idea of sort of trying to think about how we manage priorities, or in some instances, manage expectations. to give you an idea of this, we ran as a transportation council the current operations of the transit system and its capital needs moving forward to 2045. When we looked at the existing sources of funding with respect to transit, and we looked at how the transit would fund escalating on a very nominal rate, we were $63 million short that would have to come from Ulster County during that time period, or other sources. To give you an idea of some of the capital needs that are out there, right? We are going to have to do something with respect to our transit garage situation and our charging situations. The minimum numbers that you come up with respect to those ideas in terms of trying to do this is in the neighborhood of $15 to $20 million, and those were small centers. Then if you look at the need, you may need two of them. Then you start to think about where you're at in terms of in the neighborhood of $25 to $30 million in terms of trying to provide the necessary housing to essentially put your buses in so that they have shelter and you can take care of them. For a legislature that is trying to consider what we do with respect to a government operations center that is dealing with emergency services and 911, and the ability to essentially move that project forward, given that cost, the amount of money that you're going to be thinking about with respect to your transit system is similar, if not greater. The thing I would also say to you is that when you look at the bus replacement needs of what you're talking about and driving policy to those bus replacement needs, what you need to understand is that currently your fleet is about, by the end of this month, moving into October, about 50% of your fleet is going to be past its useful life. Making decisions about how you essentially move to replace those bus fleets and what you replace them with is critical. Given the fact that if you're buying electric buses now, Tony, you can correct me anytime, if you're buying electric buses now in the larger versions, the delivery time is two to two and a half years. In order to get those fleets. We're looking at what we can do in terms of smaller buses in order to make sure that we can actually look at electric buses for the smaller fleets. They carry less than 20 people generally, less than even that if we start adding all the wheelchair work that you have to deal with in terms of making that happen. Bus costs right now for electric large buses are in the neighborhood of about $1.1 million. Per bus. They last somewhere between 10 to 12 years. So if you think about replacing a 36 fleet bus, somewhere in the neighborhood of average cost between $750 to $1 million on an average basis, and you have to do it twice in a horizon of for 2045, you get a sense of how much dollars that you're talking about to invest in your fleet. And that's assuming that we're dealing with the current service that we're running. If you begin to start to think about running additional services, running rapid transit, those numbers increase dramatically. I would urge you to start to think about, when you start having discussions about policy, you need to essentially tie that back through what priorities you want to do and how you want to do them, because you can spend a boatload of money on transit, and it's going to be your money because the federal transit numbers have not gone up that much in terms of what we're seeing coming out of transit. So we get somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3.5 to $5 million on an annual basis to meet all our transit needs. We've been able to program a substantial amount of money from CARES money and from ARPA money to essentially help us meet our needs going forward. I'm not sure that the commitment at the federal level is going to continue on that basis, but I would urge you to start to think about the difficulty that the legislature has had wrapping itself around large expenditures in order to meet critical safety needs, and then start to think about those expenditures are likely to be exceeded by transit by transit demand going forward.
And that ship has already sailed because our current policy is electrification of the county fleet by 2030?
35, as I understand it.
I thought it was past
it
to 30.
It's changed it.
I thought in the beginning of this year it was moved ahead to 23rd.
And just finishing up, one of the things that's going to come out of studies when you do them are recommendations. Right? Those recommendations in the past have been implemented through conversations with the executive staff, budget decisions, and the director of UCAT. One of the things that you can do is as those studies come out, you can move through those recommendations and say, we're going to adopt the following recommendations in the study. They'll have dollar amounts associated with them, and then you're going to have to pledge to find that money for those recommendations that you adopt. I mean, that's the formal way to go about essentially implementing a study rather than relying on the executive staff to essentially go through a budgeting process and come to you and you say, well, where is this coming from? You're essentially taking the study into yourself and saying, we've adopted the study. Here's our policy document coming out in terms of what we want to fund.
So you need to buy 15 buses in the next 5 years at about $20 million, followed by replacing the other 15 buses, plus whatever the study says we need for additional services.
And right now, Dennis is right, by the end of September, 50% of our fleet will have reached its useful life, and so we're already behind about 15 buses being replaced. And the build-out time is, well, it was 2 years, now it's about 2.5, a little in between 2 to 2.5 years for the build-out, so even if we buy them now, we're talking...
So there's good possibility that service will be diminished over the next few years because we won't have any buses to put on the road.
Exactly.
Wow.
Hopefully the smaller ones will have a quicker turnaround time. And they are now, Dennis sent me some information, we talked to they're coming out in 2024 with some new smaller versions of the buses where we could put on some of the routes that don't need
to have the lower ridership. That's got to be the direction.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Phil, did you want to say something before we vote?
He did.
I missed what...
I'm voting to postpone.
Oh. Yeah, we were voting to postpone. And then we got into discussion, so I'll call the question.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye. I make a motion, we adjourn.
Oh, no old business, no new business?
I don't like it.
On the back page.
Huh?
On the back page.
Did we miss your item that you were here for?
Thanks, Jim.
Then I withdraw the motion. I'm sorry.
No.
I just thought we had covered one of the other old business ones.
See, this is my... And you see old business and another different
form. But I don't
form.
See anything there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they're this blank.
I see the words there, but
I
don't
know,
see anything listed.
Okay.
I'll change what I said. I don't see anything listed under new business or old business.
My motion stands.
I have some questions as long as we have public transportation here.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think they thought we were...
Yeah, we're in the jury. Oh. So we have more questions.
Can we hear how many vacant driver positions we have at the moment? Bus drivers?
As right now, we have 15 part-time positions vacant and 3 full-time.
Okay, thank you for that information.
All you need is class B.
B with a C and air brakes.
Well, I have air brakes. What's the P?
Passenger
endorsement. Oh, passenger. No, I don't want to pass.
And
sorry.
Now with all of the new rules, if you're getting your CDL right now, you have to go through additional training. It's been ever since that limousine accident that happened. So they're pretty strict on all of that, and then the drivers also have to pass drug and alcohol, and now with this is just my take on it, I feel now with all the legalized use of marijuana and everything that a lot of people aren't passing the test.
Unintended consequences that people didn't realize when they passed the law.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a P or a Class A?
You do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I still can't drive a bus.
You could be a mechanic.
I could what?
You can be a mechanic.
Oh, okay.
You don't need a P.
I have a PE. That doesn't help, though, huh? You have more questions, Phil?
Well, yes, and also off with what you just said, Herb, I'd heard that about folks who would fail a drug test to go to Office of Employment and Training. One possible solution is that we ask the federal government to recognize that our state has different laws than they do, and part of their concern is the federal funds. I know they're not going to listen to it.
Oh, I'm going to say good luck with that. The federal government doesn't want to listen to anything.
But I know I've heard that from other departments, and but 30 days is an awful long time after having it smoked to still have it come up in your bloodstream and you be considered impaired.
You know, you say that, but even in my position as the lead engineer on the Tappan Zee Bridge, when the nurse taps you on the shoulder, you got to go. And on that bridge project, we had zero tolerance. So if I tested positive, even though I was the head of the program, I'm out of a job.
If you tested positive for cannabis, you're saying?
Anything.
Yeah.
Alcohol, cannabis, cocaine, heroin.
Right.
Didn't matter.
But you are...
Even alcohol. Didn't matter.
But you are clearly not impaired after a certain amount of time, but it can still show up, which is different from alcohol. If you had a drink Friday night and not again... Even Saturday.
I had an engineer who went away on vacation, recreated maybe the first Saturday he was there, came back the following Monday, not that Monday, but a week later Monday, and got fired.
Yeah, I'm saying that's messed up.
Well, whether it is or isn't, it's law. So
yeah.
Here we are making laws and making policy, but there might be unintended consequences we're not, conceiving at the moment, and maybe there are a few that have already happened, so
fair enough. Is it fair to make a... You know what? Never mind. I'm ready to adjourn.
Oh, we have a motion.
Second?
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 3 hours and 15 minutes.
I know. Did I have that much money in my for my car?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I'm going
to be paying $10 to the city of Kingston, too, I think.
$20.
$20?
For what?
Lucky. From parking. The lot was full. So
yeah,
to get here on time.
You know, they said it was full. I came in, there were 4 spaces, so I had a space.
Yeah, I looked. I didn't see
they
any.
Stopped walking uptown at 2:30.
We had some shuttle buses from the park and ride by the thruway.
There you go.
Finny stops at 2:30.
The only thing is that maybe could have got here, but now I can't get home. You'll give me a ride on a bike, though.
He was out giving
you're a good guy,
candy yesterday.
I got one at 9:00.
8:13 in the morning. I left my car in front of my apartment.
I'm on a writing deadline for my work, so I'm sorry to
put
any pressure to wrap up.
Thank
you for what you bring in.
I know we didn't get to talk in advance. It's fine that we talked here, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think I was glad that you put in intermodal. It addresses some constituents that want to be a part of your solution on that.
I'm sorry, what did you say you were glad about?
Adding intermodal to that resolution. I appreciated that. And I think I read your intent correctly on these. So we got it another step along the way. And we got big issues opened up to talk about.
It's just very alarming to me that, given what Dennis just told us, we're not really doing anything to integrate with private driving. We're not making any demands on people who have unlimited mobility right now, and most motorists, of course, are working class people, just demographically speaking, and they're not going to be able to afford it in a second either. Like, increasing numbers of folks can't maintain their cars, can't keep driving them out. They are getting displaced from my district, from all of our districts in some cases. Like, what are we going to do about this, Kathy?
There's some dystopian novels that come out of Woodstock that have all of the transportation system just dissolved within 50 years.
I think it's sooner than that.
It may be sooner than that. There is disparity. There's one of my colleagues at the Hastings Center wrote a whole book about the difference between things being unfair and unjust. I think in this case they start to bleed together. Trying to do this at the county level, you will bump into state and federal laws.
Well, I have my 433, which unfortunately we didn't discuss today because it was postponed in a previous committee, but the state and feds need to step up too. It's all levels of government have pretty much considered getting around with a motor vehicle to be a personal responsibility, even though we all pay for the roads.
I think there's an argument in that, and that you're bringing it, and it's not gonna compel everybody to that point of view right away. I think so. Let's have some conversations about how this is a paradigm shift. You've read Thomas Kuhn's The Copernican Revolution.
No.
I highly recommend it. His follow-up book talks about more than just Copernicus, but Copernicus, basically the world, the Earth not being